about your medications. For a free brochure as you age about aging, medicines, and alcohol, call 1-800-662-HELP. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast. Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Still under the influence of the mother low at about 30,000 feet. A lot of cold air aloft, so showers and maybe a rumble of thunder through this evening. Overnight low 51 as we expect rain in the morning, diminishing to a few showers by afternoon on Friday. With a 56, pretty raw afternoon. Back to 42 tomorrow night as the atmosphere begins to dry out. And Saturday, partly cloudy, 58, back into the 60s on Sunday.
WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, we're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. And about 7 minutes after 7 o'clock, this is the Thursday evening edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And, I guess the vote or the meeting has already started in Fayetteville with regard to the Walmart on a battlefield discussions. So toward that end, I wanted to share something with you. I have a mole. No, not a mole. A mole. I have a mole inside Walmart headquarters in Bentonville, Arkansas. And I was just trying to find out what sort of long-term plans they had for the super center there on U.S. 19. And I was able to acquire their trial script for the tour guides for the historic Fayetteville battlefield. And I wanted to share that with you now. The part of the tourist will be played by the inimitable John Kepi. So here's what it says. Hi, thanks for paying a small fee to Walmart to tour the historic Battle of Fayetteville site. Remember our motto, low tour prices every day. We're glad you've come to share in our history here in Fayetteville. As you may have noted from reading the historical marker on the courthouse grounds, the Battle of Fayetteville marked the first usage of what came to be called indirect firing.
I saw that. Where did it happen?
Well, the artillery pieces were deployed back that way. See where that car is turning? Yeah, over there, right about where the automotive center is. And they lobbed the shells right past Action Alley, and they burst right here at Walmart between infants and intimate apparel.
Goodness me. Did anybody die?
Sure did. About 24 Confederates died that day. They're buried under the pet supplies. We're not exactly sure where, but we think they're pretty close to the Old Sam's kitty litter. A couple may be buried under the display for Old Sam's weasel warmer. We found some old lopped-off bones sticking up through the concrete over next to the laxatives aisle. Several other people were wounded, and the field hospital... Well, you can't say Walmart isn't sensitive to historical areas like this. No siree. They made a special effort to put the pharmacy right smack on top of where the field hospital was. Even put up a plaque. You can have your picture taken next to the cutout of our dear founder, Sam Walton, dressed up as a Civil War sawbones at the end of the tour for a small fee payable to Walmart.
Do you ever find any old bullets or stuff?
We sure do. We've got several on display in the Deadly Firearms Department. Remember our motto here at the historic Battle of Fayetteville Walmart Mega Center and Civil War Historical Site? Guns didn't kill Confederates. Yankees killed Confederates. By the way, we call them Yankees because we don't even like to say Union at Walmart. Anyway, every artifact we found is for sale right here at your friendly Walmart Historical Exploitation Center. Bullets, belt plates, little scraps of human bone. If you can't afford the real thing, we have replicas lovingly reproduced by Chinese slave laborers in the factories of the People's Red Army. Walmart's proud to be partnered with the Chinese People's Red Army to bring you these stunningly accurate mementos of America's fight for freedom. Like this. It's a perfect replica of a human skull, complete with the holes where the mini ball entered and exited. That's a heck of an exit wound, huh? Bet he sure had a headache that day. We also have American and Confederate flags, painstakingly hand-sewn by little Chinese girls chained to their tables. That's a quality control measure we like to use here at Walmart. You know how fidgety seven-year-olds can get. Wanting to go to the bathroom all the time, wanting to eat. Please may I have some water. Seven-year-olds can be so silly.
Can we buy flags by the case?
You sure can. And remember, when you buy in bulk at Walmart, the Chinese People's Red Army gets a little stronger with every purchase.
Do you have any non-lethal firearm reproductions?
Sure we do. We've even got Yankee, remember what I said about the U-word, and Confederate cap muskets for the kiddies. They have a really loud sound thanks to the highly realistic blanks we use. And every blank we sell was proudly made by Mrs. Dow's fourth grade boys at the Rockwell Fong Elementary School and Smokeless Gunpowder Laboratory. Those little fourth graders do a real bang-up job, if you know what I mean.
How about a souvenir for my boss? After all, he let me come on this vacation.
You betcha! Thanks to the expert craftsmanship of the political dissidents making 13 cents a day at the Shanghai Armory, you can take your boss a perfect miniature working replica of a howitzer field gun, just like the artillery used in the historic Battle of Fayetteville. Like everything else in the store, it's proudly marked Made in China. And it shoots real BBs. That way, if you ever try to join a you-know-what, he can do what the managers do here at Walmart. Point it at you, pull the lanyard, and say, "You're fired!" Now, if you'll all move along, we'll head over to the historic Battle of Fayetteville in-store McDonald's for some of our exclusive Chicken McMini Balls and indirect fries. And if that doesn't fill you up, you might want a McDonald's All-American Apple Pie. It's the only American thing in the whole damn store. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
At the pump, your monthly gas budget more expensive than your car payment.
Jeez!
If so, 40 miles per gallon on the highway must sound like a dream come true. Well, time to wake up and get to L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. We've got 35 Corollas available. And with 40 miles to the gallon on the highway, that makes Corolla one of the most fuel-efficient cars on the road.
Yes! 40 miles to the gallon!
All right! And Corollas aren't the only Toyotas that will give you more bang for your buck in the pump. Choose from 25 available Camrys with 33 miles to the gallon and 49 available Tacomas with 27 miles to the gallon. You won't just save money on your car, you'll save big on your gas bill with 35 Corollas, 25 Camrys, and 49 Tacomas available. What else can you ask for? L&S Toyota.
Visit www.lns431.com.
It's time for the Beckley Rotary Club's Monte Carlo Night. It happens Saturday, April 9th, starting at 6:30 at Glade Springs Resort Conference Center. Come join us for a night of games, food, and a silent auction. Tickets are $50 per person. For tickets, just call 763-4720. 763-4720. All proceeds donated to Raleigh County Commission on Aging Adult Daycare Facility. Beckley Rotary Club's Monte Carlo Night, Saturday, April 9th at Glade Springs Resort Conference Center.
A tip for older drivers from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Take a more active role in your driving by scanning the road for potential hazards. Move your head and your eyes. And using your side view mirrors combined with your rear view mirror can keep you informed as to traffic and obstacles all around you.
With a little practice, you'll be more aware of everything around you than you've ever been. And that's the right step toward making an older driver a wiser and safer driver.
For a free brochure on older driver safety, call 1-800-993-7222.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Ripley, of course, here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. About 16 minutes after 7 o'clock. Nice to know what the Walmart people have in store, isn't it? Classy bunch. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. You can email to bob@headonradio.com. I've given up any hope on the reliability of WWNR at netphase.net. Is it working today, John? We don't know. Some days it does. Yeah, flip a coin. bob@headonradio.com, though, that always works, and we're glad for that. We stream live on the Internet for you, of course, every night, WWNRNewsTalk620.com. It's easy. Just go there, a couple of clicks, and bang, you're right on board, as live can be. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Good evening, sir.
How are you?
Reasonably well.
Good.
Well, I received something in the mail today that I had ordered from a glass place in Richmond. It's a reproduction of Our Lady of Kazan. It's stained glass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really something to behold. It really is. This is the one that they used to turn back Napoleon and stuff like that. The one the Pope was going to return to them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was just looking at that. But I was just babbling here. Going back to Walmart, you want to hear my story with Walmart real quick?
Sure.
Well, I don't know why I did this. I was just feeling unusually wicked.
Hey, Jim, I've got to interrupt. There's something going on in the background there. Whatever it is, could you turn it down? It's kind of interfering with our ability to hear you.
It's gone.
Okay, great.
Anyway, so I called Walmart, and so I answered the phone, and I said, listen, I need to get a whiz bang. And they said, okay, we'll transfer you to that department. And so the guy answered the phone, and I said, do you have any whiz bangs left? And he said, I'm not sure. I'm going to have to ask somebody. Can you tell me what they look like? And I said, well, they're sort of between a widget and a whatchamacallit.
You're cruel, you know that?
Well, I shouldn't have done that. And this is confession, okay?
Okay. You know, you can always get some absolution here.
Well, that's where I feel, too. Listen, I received a letter from the DNC this morning about email about bug spray delay.
Mm-hmm.
And everything these people are trying to do, I mean, honestly and truly, I do not understand how in the world they intend to try to get away with some of this stuff. And the only word that I can apply to their actions is hubris.
Arrogance, hubris, racketeer-influenced corrupt organization, RICO, that comes to mind?
I mean, they're trying to do everything they can to throw out judges and to throw out 200 years of Senate history to pack the courts with right-wing judges. And you've got Tom DeLay over there. And did you hear his quote on CNN this afternoon?
Oh, do share it.
The bowels. He was referring to they did not need to go into the bowels of the organization that financed his trips.
Oh, the bowels.
I said, how appropriate that you would use that word, Tom.
Yes, indeed.
Because, you know, you remind me of a certain aperture of the human anatomy that connects to that portion of the body.
Without a doubt. And are you aware of what's come out about his nasty wife and daughter?
Christina?
No. Danny. Well, is his wife Christina? I don't know. His wife is Daniela. The PAC paid them something on the order of $500,000 last year.
Well, they're doing something now. I don't know what it is. Probably standing on the street corner on K Street getting eight large a month.
Yeah. Oh, and there's old stories. I've got a story here. I saw a link to it on Bart Cop, Jim. A story from 2000 about a party in Colorado that was thrown by Washington influence peddlers. People like, I think UPS was in on it. The Association of Convenience Stores was in on it.
Right.
And DeLay left it up to his daughter, Danny, to carry on the party. And toward the end of the night, toward the end of the night, it was reported that the lobbyists were pouring champagne all over Tom DeLay's daughter in the hot tub.
Well, the acorn doesn't fall too far from the tree, does it?
Well, he had his days in the hot tub, too. But you say you don't understand how he can remain in power. This is living proof, Jim, of the rank, stinking, rotten, dirty, filthy, ugly, nasty hypocrisy of these people who are in power. Because the way Tom DeLay stays in power is that no matter what nastiness he does, when it's reported, he goes back to the mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging, the hair-palmed faithful, you know, the religious right, in other words, and he says, they're after me. They're saying I'm dirty because I love Jesus.
Oh,
and yeah, I know, but that's
so he's as filthy as if he came out of a sewer.
Right, but they look at him and they go, "That's right, Tom. You're very holy. You're Jesus's best friend. Pass me a snake."
Well, all I can say is I talk to those people with my hand, not my face. Okay.
Yeah.
And I get my hips into it, and I get my head into it, and I just tell them, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Amen to that, Jim.
That's the way I feel.
But it's so funny because it turns out that, I'll go into the story later. But, yeah, the DeLay women are good for $500,000 a year for doing nothing but sitting around. And apparently within the House rules, this is okay.
Well, Bob, because they twisted them around. I mean, they just completely transmogrified everything. I mean, they think because they can fire some people on certain judiciary and ethics committees and put their own people up there. I mean, this is just like some kind of third-rate banana republic.
It's being transformed into that. There was a reference in the letters to the editor in the Rag Ho Old today. A normal guy apparently wrote in and pointed out the fact that, you know, 200 years worth of freedom, I think it was the Beckley paper, 200 years worth of freedom, 200 years worth of Senate tradition. These good-for-nothing, godless Republicans are ready to flush it all down the toilet just so they can pack the court with ideological freaks who, I don't know if they're like closet transsexuals or whatever, but they're envious or hateful of women's insides.
Well, no, this letter that I received, this is one paragraph, and it'll be short.
Okay, go ahead.
Republicans are arrogant with power. If they don't like the rules, they break them. If they don't like someone standing in their way, they attack them. We have some Republicans in the Senate that are considering throwing out 200 years of Senate history in order to pack the courts with right-wing judges. And we have a Republican leader in the House of Representatives who attacks judges who don't agree with him and corrupts our government by running roughshod over the Ethics Committee. That's exactly what the letter from DNC said, and it's signed by, let's see, who is it? Harry Reid. So, you know,
I don't have a problem with anything that letter said. Now, Harry Reid, you know, he's of course the Senate Minority Leader. I hope he starches up and learns to fight.
Well, I think they're going to have to. I mean, you know, the days of hiding in cellars and being bombed by the Luftwaffe are over. And it's time for us to take some of that stuff back to Berlin. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
And that's what's going to have to happen. And I think that basically, when 63% tell Bush they don't agree with his Social Security plan, and 83% of the American people do not agree with him getting involved with that poor woman in Florida, Carrie Schiavo.
Right.
I mean, this, to me, is the, it might not be the beginning of the end, but I think it could be the end of the beginning.
I hope it is, Mr. Churchill. Just playing with you, Jim.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, as far as delay, the real question here I mean, we know that those mouth breathers are going to stand by him, heaven or hell. I mean, if the illusion ends and the horns sprout out of his head and the little cloven hooves show up and he gets the pointy tail and the pitchfork, there is a certain element of right-wing Republican so-called Christians that are going to stand by him no matter what. The question is, though, how about the people here in West Virginia that were suckered in by this Republican moral values bug spray? Will they get away from him?
Well, I mean, you know, there are some who, of course, will never, and there are some who might be righteous enough and have enough common sense to realize just exactly which side of the loaf their bread's buttered on, not to mention the fact that, you know, we're throwing away a lot of decent government that has made our country great, and it's turning this country into a laughing stock.
And a bankrupted one at that.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of bankruptcy, there's a little time been bought, apparently. The bankruptcy bill in the House has been moved to next week.
I wonder why.
But we do have that much time to let people know that we expect Democrats to act like Democrats. And I have no doubt that Congressman Ray Hall will vote the right way on this bill. But, you know, I go ahead and I contact other members. And I just send them a little email or make a little phone call and say, it's time to stand up and be a Democrat and be what Democrats stand for, i.e., you know, the middle class, the working people, and this bankruptcy nightmare must not get through the House, or if it does get through the House, it will get through on Republican votes alone.
Well, and when it starts to fall off of them and it falls out on them, you know, at least they can say, hey, we tried to prevent this, and we're going to have to correct it.
Exactly. And frankly, where the bankruptcy bill is concerned, there's no room for error in this.
No, there is, because Bob, I mean, so many people who thought they were well off and reasonably well off worked hard all their lives to accumulate wherever they have, and then, you know, they have a major illness, and then they're just virtually in the street.
Oh, you can be destroyed by one sick member of your family under the Senate's version of this bankruptcy bill. It's got to be stopped. Jim, we got to take our bottom of the hour break.
Yeah, I appreciate your time.
Yes, indeed. Take care. All right, more of your calls. We'll go right back to the phones when we get back from the break. The phone number, of course, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. That's WWNR, of course. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
WWNR News, a group of Summers County citizens are organizing to support an excess school levy that will be voted on next month. If passed, the 75% levy would generate about $1.4 million per year and be spent to improve children's services, support for children and school employees, also to finance improvement projects. Other levy money would be spent on the public library, adult evening classes, WVU Extension Services, and a 4-H club. A Senate committee has altered the House version of a bill that would give the state's new pharmaceutical advocate power to negotiate prescription drug prices. The committee removed House provisions that would have set the deeply discounted federal supply schedule as the benchmark for state price negotiations. It would have required drug companies to seek waivers to justify prices above the schedule for drugs sold to state-managed health care plans. But the Senate Health and Human Resources Committee put the bill back to the original form introduced by Governor Manchin. After ruling that a fire that killed a prominent McDowell County politician and doctor as arson, authorities are now treating the crime as murder. 70-year-old Eb Keister Doc Whiteley died March 15th in a fire set at his Yeager home. Investigators found a poor pattern inside the house. State Fire Marshal Sterling Lewis says that indicates an accelerant was poured on the floor and then lit. House Speaker Kiss today announced the demise of legislation that would allow table games in West Virginia. The four racetracks have been pushing legislation to allow them. Voters in the counties that host the tracks would first have to approve. Those counties are Kanawha, Ohio, Hancock, and Jefferson counties. Forecast for the rest of this evening and tonight, cloudy with showers. Temperatures in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, cloudy with a chance of showers. Temperatures in the upper 50s. Friday night, a chance of showers. And a little bit cooler with a low near 39. Weekend looks nice, though. Saturday and Sunday, partly cloudy. High Saturday near 60. And high Sunday in the 60s. And then for Sunday night, clear with a low 34. Sunny on Monday with a high again, mid-60s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
I'm Jesse Russell.
Pope John Paul II championed the union cause as a way to protect the basic dignity and rights of workers. Pope John Paul II wrote, quote, "In order to achieve social justice in the various parts of the world, in the various countries, and in the relationships between them, there is a need for ever new movements of solidarity of the workers and with the workers. The Church," he wrote, "is firmly committed to this cause, for she considers it her mission, her service, a proof of her fidelity to Christ." Pope John Paul II said of workers, quote, "Their union remains a constructive factor of social order and solidarity, and it's impossible to ignore it." He said workers should be assured the right to strike without being subjected to personal penal sanctions for taking part in a strike.
Walmart can't compete with the Medicaid programs offered by some states. That's according to CEO Lee Scott when he was asked yesterday at Walmart's media conference in Bentonville, Arkansas, why in 11 out of 12 states where studies have been done, Walmart employees lead in state-run Medicaid programs.
We didn't think he would actually say what he did, which is, quote-unquote, "the public program in some states may actually be a better value than Walmart's program."
Paul Blank is a spokesperson for WakeUpWalmart.com, a website started by the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. He flew to Bentonville to promote the website to reporters gathered for the media conference. He says he was shocked to hear Scott say that the world's largest retailer couldn't compete with state health programs.
He thinks that we should pay for their health care plan so that he can continue to make his $23 million salary, as opposed to Walmart standing up and doing the right thing for its workers. And now it's not just their workers, but it's all of society.
Students at St. Louis's Washington University are holding a sit-in that started Monday, demanding a living wage for service workers on campus. Uzugo Ozama is one of the organizers.
We want the university to lift all of its employees out of poverty.
Ozama says this action in St. Louis is in solidarity with similar movements for living wages at 100 college campuses nationwide, including Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., where students recently won living wage concessions after a hunger strike.
This is a time when students are kind of accused of being apathetic and that kind of thing, so it's our moment to take back activism from the 1960s and 1970s and bring it into our time.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. Older workers have forced to keep working longer today due to disappearing pension plans and high health insurance costs. More than 80% of workers in 1979 were covered by defined benefit pensions for life. By 2001, according to the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College, just 40% of U.S. workers had pensions. Economist Edward Wolf says households headed by workers aged 47 to 64 today are poorer in constant dollars than they were in 1983.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 34 minutes after 7 o'clock, 26 before 8 o'clock. This is Bob Kincaid. I'm head on, of course, you know that. Straight to the phones. No fooling around. Mary Lou's with us. Hey, Mary Lou, your head on. Mary Lou?
Hello.
Hey.
How are you, Bob?
Just great.
Listen, what do you think about Mother of Fayetteville tonight?
Given the way these city fathers are acting, I'd say they're going to ram that Walmart down our throats whether we want it or not.
I know. But, you know, Bob, I wonder if they've ever thought that farm, down that road, the cable wouldn't come down there. The sewer wouldn't come down there. The water wouldn't come down.
It will now.
Well, they'll probably cut it in. But I wonder if they've thought about all that.
Sure they have. They don't care, Mary Lou.
And that road will not accommodate that much traffic. They're going to have to put an easement in there somewhere, Bob.
Well, the traffic's going to be out on 19. That's where the, you know, that's where the death trap's going to be. It's going to make trying to get into the Walmart on Eisenhower look like a country lane.
Right, right. They're going to be coming from right now and everywhere.
Well,
Somersville.
Well, no, not Somersville. They've got one.
Do they?
But everywhere south of Somersville, everywhere, well, you know, probably long about a little bit north of Mount Hope to the New River area and, you know, points in between, sure. And it's going to be a nightmare.
Yes, it is. 19's bad enough now. But, you know, they keep acting like that cemetery didn't exist or it wasn't, but Bob, it did. That battle was fought in 1862, and there is 39 graves there plus John Morgan's tombstone.
And they don't care. They don't care, Mary Lou. Profit is more important to these greed-headed freaks than any reverence. And you know what? Even if the cemetery wasn't there, it is still a battleground.
Yes.
And I remember what Abraham Lincoln said in the Gettysburg Address. He said, "We cannot hallow this ground. It has already been hallowed by the people who died here."
Yes. Well, yes.
But Walmart doesn't care.
Well, it might not go through. I talked to one lady, and it wasn't the one who has the case, that who has fought this all the way along. It was another lady. And she told me, she said, "I don't believe they stand a chance of getting it through when they find out what they're up against."
Well, they're...
So we'll have to wait and see. But now, they're going to put all kinds of stores in there. There's more than Walmart will go in there.
I know. There's 13 stores.
Yes.
I don't remember what all they are. You know, usually wherever Walmart and Lowe's goes, you wind up with a shoe carnival or something like that.
Well, then I don't know what they're going to do with that nut hole that's up there on the border of it, Bob. I really don't know. That can't be filled. I don't know what they'll do with it. That's a place where those fish don't have no eyes.
Well,
I kid you not.
They'll fill it in. They'll concrete it. If there is a dollar to be made, Walmart will find a way to make it. And they don't care who they run over
or what they
destroy.
But you were right. It was a Kroger's. I thought it was a food line, but it's a Kroger's they was going to put in there.
Well, I'll tell you what.
One lady said that I talked to.
Well, you know what? If they put a Kroger's in right next door to a Walmart Supercenter, it's a recipe for disaster. Because the whole idea of putting it there is for this Walmart to destroy that Kroger's. The Kroger's that already exists right there 2 miles up the road. And to destroy Daniels and Ben Franklin and the food land on the north side of the river that I shop at.
I know. Well, maybe the last lady that I talked to, maybe she's right. We'll just have to wait till the end of the meeting.
You know, they're...
I just hate to see them destroy that cemetery.
I do, too. I don't go in for a whole lot of mystical gobbledygook, Mary Lou, but can any good come of building on hallowed ground?
No.
I mean...
No. Because, Bob, I tell you what, like I told you, when my brother-in-law built a swimming pool, he paid $20,000 for it. He had to get Fayetteville Water, the fire department, to come and fill it up with water because the water supply there on the farm wouldn't fill it.
Right.
And he got into the awfulest mess it ever was. Well, that's why my sister and him sold it. But I still say they're in for a lot of trouble over that.
I hope they are.
I shouldn't say trouble, but they're going to end up with a lot of obstacles that they're going to have trouble with.
Well, you know, from my standpoint, I will not set foot in it, Mary Lou. I will not set foot on the property. I will not allow my family to set foot on the property. I will urge my friends and my neighbors to avoid it at all costs. Because
that is a beautiful little neighborhood.
Yes, it is. Mary Lou, I refuse to be a part of the desecration of our dead and our history.
Right. Well, they was cannonballs all over that place, Bob.
I'm not sure. And belt plates and If you went over it with a metal detector, probably find little bullets.
Airheads. They even found some airheads.
Sure. This is history upon layer of history upon layer upon layer upon layer upon layer.
And what they're saying now is that it didn't exist. And Bob Nimcombe's, the daughters of the American Revolution, came from Washington and put those in there themselves. There's 39 of them that they knew of, plus John Morgan's the big one there that was kin to them.
Right. And I read the article in the Charleston paper a couple of weeks ago about the accounts from the older generation that said, yeah, it's there, I remember it. And the fellow that put up the tombstone went back a few years after the Civil War and said, yep, still there. And that was his brother.
Oh, Bob, it's there. Yes, it is. You couldn't tear that up if you wanted to. It's a great big antique type thing. I mean, it's old-timey monument.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put in the modern flat ones, the daughters of the American Revolution. But they
daughters of the Confederacy.
They checked that out through Washington.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. But as my dad often said, my grandpa too, you can't stop progress, but yet I don't see why you can't respect the land.
Well, and I hesitate to call this progress. It seems like anything that has to do with tearing up our heritage or our history, they get away with it, Mary Lou, by calling it progress when it's anything but.
And then the great-great-grandkids will never know it existed, Bob.
Yep, and
what they will do when places like that go in, they just slowly keep moving it off and moving it out of the way as if it didn't exist, and soon it doesn't. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, and that's...
They move the markers one by one and Bob, and it's just like they don't exist.
Well, that's the sad thing, though, Mary Lou. When they take our history and our heritage from us, it makes us less connected to our own homes, and that way we're easier to control and easier to manipulate.
Well, they was people that came there all the time. They were always knocking at the door wanting to know if they could go up there and look at that cemetery to see if they were kin to those people. And lots of them come down there just smiling, happy as could be, just calling, I know I'm kin to him.
Yeah, because they found out a little bit about their own history, and it made them feel more rooted to the earth.
Yes, it did, Bob. It did. It really did. Because and then they had the birth certificates from the courthouse that linked them to their family. And then I just hate to see them destroy that cemetery, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens. That one lady told me she didn't think that it would go through tonight. I don't know. She was basing that on the sewer and on the water system, because they're going to have to change it for all of Fayetteville.
Well, I know that our Warren Ellison from our news department is over there covering the meeting tonight, so hopefully when he comes back in, he can tell us what happened.
Right. Well, I'll keep listening, Bob, and maybe somebody else will call in, too, because I've got to go to work, but I can still listen to it.
Okay, thanks so much, Mary Lou.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And something that when I got home, I had an email from our regular listener, Kelly. Kelly wrote in to tell us that there was an online petition circulating about the Walmart in Fayetteville. And it generated, as of the last time I checked, there was something on the order of 4,440, I think, something like that, or 4,040. Signatures of people vociferously opposed to trampling history. And again, I understand there is some controversy over whether or not those graves are actually there, and that Walmart paid some so-called contract archaeologists to try to find the graves, and that they said they couldn't. Now, let's take it as given that there are no graves there. It is where the battle took place. And to the greed-driven, profit-driven people who think that Walmart is the salvation of America, I ask you only one question. Would you put a Walmart supercenter in the middle of Gettysburg's, the area where Pickett's Charge was made? Would you blow away those giant boulders at Devil's Den at Gettysburg because the Walton heirs aren't rich enough yet? Would you build a Walmart at the Cowpens? Would you build a Walmart on the site of the Battle of Kings Mountain? Would you build a Walmart on the site of Cornwallis's surrender at Yorktown? At what point does our history cease to be even remotely relevant? At what point do we sell our heritage, our background, our ancestry, and everything that will connect us to our future and our posterity? At what point, what's the price point? They like to use that word at Walmart. What's the price point where we are willing to sell everything that makes us uniquely who we are? At what point do we sell that to Walmart and let them trample our history because, really, because the Chinese People's Red Army isn't quite rich enough off of the fat of the American land? Tell me, please. Again, the phone number, 252-6200, outside Beckley. We pay the freight, 800-620-WWNR. That's 9967. Jeff is with us. Hey, Jeff, you're head on.
Hello, how you doing?
Doing good.
Hey, man, I wonder how come they don't just build it somewhere else?
They had an option to build it across the road and didn't want to do it.
They're why not?
They're hell-bent on building on top of...
Why? There's got to be more to it than something here we're not here.
I don't. Maybe it's easier to connect to water and sewer, because it's on the same side of 19 as Fayetteville. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you can, from where they're going to build this, you can throw a rock and hit neighborhoods.
Where's it going to be at?
You know where the Pancake House is?
Yeah.
Kind of catty cornered across from that.
On the south that side of the road?
No.
Oh, across from the road from it.
Yeah, on the Fayetteville side of 19.
Isn't there like a mile of fields through there that they could just build it anywhere up through there?
That's that farm, 60 acres. And it's going to be a Walmart Supercenter and a Lowe's and you know, a strip mall of 13 other smaller retail outlets. Mm. And, you know, there's got to be, you know, they got to have the parking lot and they got to have the ingress and egress. It seems like there's room there. It takes a whole lot of battlefield to build a Walmart.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
It's disgusting.
Well, I'm going to agree with you a little bit, and then I hope you'll do me the favor of praising my side a little bit.
Well, we were agreeing last night.
Yeah, I hate to call in and get along every time, and I hate to call in and argue every time.
I feel like I have to take medicine when I agree, Jeff.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you.
You do that.
Up in what they're doing in Maryland,
mm-hmm.
with moving to make Walmart take like the 8% for health care.
Right.
I agree with that.
Well, how can you not? I mean, if you're a Republican, Jeff, how can you not agree with making Walmart get its people off the dole?
We have to work. There's certain, you know, I've always said that government's place is to do what the individual man cannot do, what the individual person. And, you know, some things like the breakup of Standard Oil, that was something that government had to do.
Right.
Me not buying gas at Exxon wouldn't have done that. And you not buying gas over there wouldn't have done it.
No.
Maybe Walmart will have to be done like that one. But that would
require Jeff another Theodore Roosevelt. I don't think there is an individual within either the Republican or Democratic Party that has that kind of moral courage.
Well, I have the faith in my government, and it might not happen the way I think it should or as quickly as any of us think it should. But if a situation comes up like that, I trust in the government to eventually get around to fixing that. And this is something that the government, I think, is working to getting around, maybe to fixing. And that's, you know, these big super corporations working their people and then not paying their benefits and shifting that burden to all the rest of us, and we're losing our jobs with benefits. And I think you're really going to love this. I think I kind of caught old Rush in a lie today.
Really?
Well, he said that, you know, some woman called in there and she liked it. She talked him up one side and down the other too. And he said that Walmart does not work most of its employees less than 40 hours.
That's a lie.
and he said that most of them do have benefits.
That they are available for benefits.
So he tried to let on like they don't try to work them part time to keep from giving them the benefits.
Well, you got to understand, there's a big PR blitz on the part of Walmart right now, and of course he's going to be on the inside of that. Because whatever the Bush administration likes, he will trump it as holy writ, and the Bush administration likes this Walmart PR blitz.
Listen, it's not just Walmart. When you drive through Beckley, when you drive through the plaza there where the Staples and the all of that, if you look in both directions, you're going to see a bunch of companies that do the same thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't get away from Chinese garbage just by not going to Walmart.
Restaurants. Gas stations.
Chain restaurants. Sure.
All of them are doing this. And I think that that's hopefully maybe that the Maryland government has drew a line in the sand somewhere that we're going to start getting the pendulum going towards. Because I think that all businesses really just about ought to have to offer health care at an affordable rate, if you know, because that's something that ought to be kind of included in a job, because it's hard to get up and go to work every single day for years and years and years.
And be scared to death of getting sick.
Yeah.
Well, the thing, I admire so much what Maryland did. I don't know that they did enough.
I think they have a veto-proof. If
yeah, it's going to happen.
Urlacher or Urlach is going to veto it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Democrats have a veto-proof majority.
What does that say for the Republican Party over there, though, Jeff?
Well, Maryland's a red state. That's what it says.
No, Maryland's a blue state.
A blue state. Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
But, I mean, they got a Republican governor, and he sees the clear will of the people as manifested by their elected representatives, and he's just going to spit on them?
Well,
of course, he claims, and I've got the article here somewhere.
Yeah, I meant to say blue state.
It's really kind of funny. He governor of Maryland has received horse gagging loads of money from I believe Walmart itself, and yet he says let me see if I can find it real quick. Here it is.
Governor Urlacher.
Yeah, Ehrlich. Ehrlich.
That's fine.
Well, I'm looking for it. I don't
want to tell a story yesterday.
No, I don't want to just sit here and
be quiet.
Yeah, I hate dead hair.
But
what it boils down to is Ehrlich has had here it is. Late last year, Walmart hosted an Annapolis fundraiser for Ehrlich, and raised horse gagging loads of money for him. But his spokesperson said that his veto of that bill has nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do with the fact that Walmart sponsored his re-election or his election effort. No, couldn't be that.
Well, Rush too. He kind of contradicted himself today too, and he said that, well, you know, if we pass this in Maryland and we all start doing this to all the Walmarts, they're just going to pass this right on, and it's going to cost us more. It's going to cost us more for goods in Walmart.
Good, then maybe we stop going to Walmart.
Well, if we don't, then the government is paying for these people's health care and their kids and everything, and we're paying higher taxes.
Well, doesn't
and that gets passed on, too.
Yeah, doesn't that go to show you what a hypocrite the guy is?
We all do it a little bit.
Because he hollers about how he hates welfare, but he only hates it as long as it's not subsidizing something that he's behind.
Well, the pass it on excuse, you know, like minimum wage, well, that's just going to get passed on, and this is going to, I hate to hear the same card played every time, and it's my bunch doing it, and I understand it, and I believe it a lot.
Well, they're a little, I hate to be too rough on you, Jeff, but they're a little short on fresh ideas.
Well, I don't know about that.
This idea, and you know, they've been hollering. It's well, like I said, you got to remember with Social Security. Social Security passed the House and the Senate without a single Republican vote.
All right.
And they hate the minimum wage. They have screamed about the minimum wage, and yet the minimum wage has gone up periodically, and the American economy has never felt a single negative impact from the minimum wage.
What about raising minimum wage when people working in the gas stations are making minimum wage, and this all the people running gas stations said, if you raise that minimum wage on our checkers, we're going to add 10 to 20 cents a gallon on that gas.
Well, the thing is, though, they can't justify that. I mean, what is it, the gaspricecheck.com or something like that? They'll show you how much of the gas price is what. And employee costs are minuscule within all
that.
I just
want to hear you give Senator Weeks a little praise now.
What'd he do?
He voted against the pay raises for all the judges and stuff that you were lambasting.
Well, good.
He had a little quote on this station, this good station.
Mm-hmm.
He said that I couldn't, and I have, he said that all my constituents are going to work every day, working one and two jobs, and I couldn't in good faith vote for this when they're working and barely making what the raise we're talking about giving them.
Well, I'm glad he did, and you know, it goes to prove that age old maxim, Jack.
Oh,
you know, even a blind hog finds an acorn now and then. You know, no, that's not hard to do the right thing on.
Well, I think Russ does a lot of the right things. I mean, I hear you say this and that about him, but in the year or so that I've kind of been following closer, I haven't heard or seen any of the things that Russ Weeks is accused of, like being in pockets of big coal and things like that. I've never heard or seen.
No, all you have to do is go. All you have to do is go and look at his. Well, he didn't have to run this year, so you're not going to see that until next year. But you know, if you didn't, if you haven't seen the Pinecrest shenanigans and foolishness, Jeff.
Well, you know,
on that one,
yeah. Well, I think that the negative airflow was compromised. It's not. It wasn't followed the rules.
But the thing is, Jeff, the grand jury proved him wrong, and he said, "Well, I will offer an apology." I'm still waiting on it, you know.
Have you ever addressed the 7% markup on our gas? How does all of our states around us survive without forcing their gas stations to mark their gas up at least 7%?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Kinda. I'm a little thin on that one. Hey, Jeff, we do have to roll along.
Maybe
we're at the top
you can
of the
talk
hour.
About it later if you want to.
No, I'll try to talk about it after I learn about it.
Yeah, okay.
Email me something, would you?
Okay. I'll try to find.
Yeah, if you can find something, email me.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Later. And we'll be back to the phones after the top of the hour news from ABC. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Businesswoman's age was said to be the biggest secret since the D-Day invasion. Her story next on Biography for Radio.
When you take 15 girls hiking, you've got to stay alert, even with bad allergies. Hey, stay together! Now I'm Claritin Clear, which means I'm in control of my allergies. Only Claritin is proven to make me as alert and focused as someone without allergies. Claritin gives me 24-hour non-drowsy relief from my worst symptoms like sneezing, runny nose, and itchy eyes. No cell phones in hiking. Stay focused. Live Claritin Clear.
Try Claritin Ready Tabs free. Go to Claritin.com or text message 24CLR. Use as directed.
It's not clear just how her obsession with beauty and success arose. Her beginnings certainly were humble. She grew up in an apartment above her father's hardware store in Queens, New York. After marrying in her early 20s, she began selling face creams concocted by her uncle in a stable behind his house. Leaving nothing to chance, she began going to beauty salons and selling her creams to women sitting captive under hair dryers. Sometimes, she even stopped women walking down Fifth Avenue to deliver a sales pitch. Soon she began mixing her own creams and packaging them in a delicate shade of green. Her breakthrough came when Saks Fifth Avenue, impressed by her salesmanship, agreed to give her a counter. Her company's sales expanded as she courted the rich and famous by sending them free samples. She also won wide adoration by insisting that there are no ugly women, only women who don't care or who don't believe they are attractive. By 2004, her cosmetics empire was worth billions. When she died of a heart attack that spring, her age was still something of a mystery. She never admitted to it, but it was said that she was 95. The cosmetics business genius, Estee Lauder. Her biography,
I'm Lawrence Scott.
Biography is a trademark of A&D.
Hello, I'm Dennis Franz. It's horrifying that every 14 seconds worldwide a child is orphaned because of HIV and AIDS. You can make a difference. Go to worldvision.org to learn how. Thank you.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. East Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley, 18 o'clock.
As times change, our bodies process medications differently. That's why it's important to talk to your doctor or pharmacist about your medications. For a free brochure, As You Age, Guide to Aging, Medicines, and Alcohol, call 1-800-662-HELP. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the station.
News Talk 620, WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Still under the influence of the mother low at about 30,000 feet. A lot of cold air aloft, so showers and maybe a rumble of thunder through this evening. Overnight low 51 as we expect rain in the morning, diminishing to a few showers by afternoon on Friday. With a 56, pretty raw afternoon. Back to 42 tomorrow night as the atmosphere begins to dry out. And Saturday, partly cloudy, 58, back into the 60s on Sunday.
WWNR, Beckley.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. For those of you listening over the air, not those listening on the Internet, ABC News just had a story about the... you remember as the Republicans were getting ready to insert themselves into private family business with the bill of attainder that they passed on Palm Sunday for Terri Schiavo. You remember all that. And you remember the filthy little memo that came out that said, this would be a great issue for Republicans because it's going to be real tough for the Democrats. Remember that? Yeah. And then, of course, in some greater detail than ABC reported, people like Senator Robert F. Bennett, a Republican from Utah, he said the issue stinks of a news fabrication similar to the one that engulfed CBS anchorman Dan Rather. As far as I'm concerned, it's an invention of the press. And then Senator Trent Goodhair Lott said, we've not been able to find the source. I never saw it. You know, this is the sort of Nuremberg defense. If he didn't do it, he wasn't there. And even if he did it, he was only following orders. And then there's our buddy, the junkie, Flush Flimball. He said, truth detector, supposed GOP Schiavo memo forged by Democrats. Of course, Flush was only doing what Flush does. Flush was lying, because we now know that it was indeed generated by a Republican. A Republican. Disgusting. That being the personal lawyer to Florida Republican Senator Mel Martinez. And, of course, Mel Martinez came out and said, I didn't know nothing about it. I wasn't there. I didn't do it. And even if I did it, I was only following orders. Eesh. Don't you love catching them like this? I dare ask, how low can a Republican go? How dirty can a Republican get? These people are just nasty. Back to the phones. Jethro's with us. Hey, Jethro, your head on.
It's madness, I tell you.
Madness.
Yeah, poor old dumb Jeff. He's still looking for that first acorn, isn't he?
Oh, God. You're a cold man, Jethro.
Well, all this is based on this military advisors over in Vietnam set by Eisenhower.
Right.
You know, Jeff has accused you of lying about that. Because those advisors weren't military, they weren't troops, and according to Jeff, they were sitting in an office somewhere.
Okay. Well, they were Americans, and they were sent to Vietnam, and they were the first ones sent there.
Funny thing, the first troops killed over in Nam were advisors.
Right.
But we had, you know, we had CIA over there helping the French.
Well, sure.
There was some big CIA pod, earthquake, somebody, he got shot down there in the you know, Dien Bien Phu, the final slaughter there.
Right, and Dien Bien Phu in particular was where we broke our word to the Vietnamese, because Harry Truman had said to Ho Chi Minh, you know, we sympathize with all peoples of the earth who yearn to be free. And then, Eisenhower got into office, and he was old pals with De Gaulle. And De Gaulle said, ah, you must help us in Vietnam. And Eisenhower said, why, shucks, yeah. And that was the beginning. That was the beginning of the long downhill slide.
Long downhill slide. But and you know, he kept that up for a while, and now he's silent on the boards about it. But of course, I think his problem is he thinks everybody is as dumb as he is.
Well, it's an issue of being informed, and you know, I try to keep myself profoundly informed. Like I said, if I say it here, you can run with it to the bank.
Yeah, just profound, all right, but it's profound ignorance that he's presenting. Yeah, and this all Pope all the time stuff.
Oh Lord,
I'm tired of it.
Yeah, and that's no disrespect. I'm all poked out. I'm just I want some news. I'm a news junkie, Jethro. You know, I turn on whether it's MSNBC or CNN or whatever. You know, I'd like to see a different news story from time to time. And I watched for something like 30 minutes today, and it was Pope, 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 Pope.
Yeah, Pope's gone. All that's left now, there's a slab of meat. I don't know why all these people are going to, you know, to go view a slab of meat laying there, because what's inside, the essence is gone.
Yeah.
Long gone.
You know, they believe in a soul. But you know, at least they, I heard an acknowledgement on ABC's news earlier today. You know, they acknowledge this is theater. This is a very deliberate act on their part. That you know, there's and it's an opportunity to try to mend some fences. They're going to let some women actually carry the water and the wine, you know, for the lay part of the funeral service tomorrow. That kind of thing, big deal. You know, he did some
good recruiting tool. I guess what they're thinking.
But he did some good things. He did some bad things. I think he was positively medieval when it came to women.
Well, they've been that way since medieval times.
Right, since they were medieval.
Let's not forget the collusion with the Nazi regime and the fascists during World War II.
Yep, Pope Pius.
They said nothing about the Holocaust, the Catholic Church, or the Pope. So, you know, yep. I just...
Yeah, I'm all, like I said, I'm all poked out.
And one thing that bothered me was, you know, the passing of Saul Bellows, which got... hardly any notice at all.
And there was a great man.
Sure, Pulitzer Prize winner, Nobel Literature Prize.
Yeah, Henderson, The Rain King.
My favorite.
Wonderful book.
Yes, so, and I don't know, he was up there with the Pope as far as I was concerned.
Well, right.
Me too.
I mean, I don't think you have to have some sort of formal title to be a great human being.
Yeah.
I some of that was formed probably by reading many, many years ago. There's a short story, again, more Mark Twain, called An Account of Captain Stormfield's Visit to Heaven. And it turned, and when Captain Stormfield goes to heaven, he finds out that there are people like, you know, the guy who was the corner butcher, and that's what he did all his life, but it turned out he was a brilliant poet. He just didn't do it, but he was revered in heaven as the greatest poet that Earth had ever produced.
I hear you.
And that's the way I see some of these things. So many people labor in obscurity. There are probably people passing away today that deserve a half a million people to pay attention to what they did with their lives.
Well, the true spiritual. The ones who have advanced spiritually or who were reborn here to do spiritual work, those people stay in the background. You know, they're not looking for the headlines like a Falwell or a money grubber or anything like that. You know, like your Tiltons and your Pat Robertsons. You know, they're digging through the mud, and you know, unknown to anyone else.
And they right, but your Tiltons and your Falwells. They're the ones who haven't figured it out yet. They still think a little bit more power, a little bit more influence, and most often a little bit more money will make it all okay.
Exactly. And, you know, this spirituality there's no room for power or money grabbing or anything of that nature because it has nothing to do with that. No. It's the exact opposite, as a matter of fact. I mean, Jesus was born, the whole manger deal was, to symbolize living in poverty in the material life.
Right, and then there was the whole living in poverty thing, because he did, for the most part. Whether he was segregated out in the Dead Sea Desert among the Essenes or the Qumran community, whatever, or walking and telling people, give up what you have and follow me. Because there was something that was a radical new way of looking at being a human being.
Right.
Even when you come down to the analysis of what he meant when he said turn the other cheek. If you think about that, when you turn the other cheek, that indicates that you've been backhanded, slapped like you'd do a servant or a slave. And when you turn the other cheek, that's looking at them and saying, okay, now hit me like a human being.
Yeah. And also that, you're forgiven for that. If you need to do another one, take your best shot.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But we've turned him into a business. And it makes me ill. These people of real spirituality. And uniformly, Jethro, I mean, it's not just him. Uniformly, we kill the great ones. The organized state of Athens passed the hemlock cup to Socrates. That's why Plato despised democracy. He said any government that could do this to a man like Socrates is no just government.
Madness, I tell you.
up to our necks in it, Jethro, but the warm weather's coming. We'll be in the water soon.
I hear you. I think he authored this memo one of his underlings has taken the fall.
Oh, sure. That was his personal lawyer that jumped on the sword. It's not like the guy's never going to work again.
Yeah, and you had Trent Lott, you had Hannity, you had Rush Limbaugh. You had all these wing nuts out there.
Screaming fraud.
They did everything but blame it on Clinton.
Oh, I'm sure some of them did that privately.
So, I don't know. And I see that... Bush trying to play it off there. He ran up there and signed it, but then when he saw that the public sentiment was not going his way, he backed off. But
well, and Bill Frist did the same thing with DeLay's and Cornyn's comments about let's go kill us a judge to teach him a lesson. Frist came out and said, well, I think we've got a good judiciary. Now this from the same guy who says that the judiciary is out of hand and we need more conservative, less activist judges. And the same, Frist appeared before that same Family Values Coalition or whatever that creepy organization is that DeLay appeared in front of and said, God sent us Terry Schiavo. The day before that, Jethro, Frist had appeared before him and complained about the activist judges. They're trying to get away from it, but, if we shine a little light on them, they'll go all vampire and turn to dust on us.
Yeah, Frist is going to need some votes later on. I think he wants to run for president, so he had to cave in there and... take a little softer stance.
Yeah, trying to look a little presidential.
But another big event, though, that was covered up was the assault on the Abu Ghraib prison.
Yeah, that one didn't get... Yeah, you mean when the resistance fighters tried to attack George Bush's rape rooms?
Yeah. And now they claim there was 44 wounded. No one dead. That sounds a little funny. You get that many people injured and none of them die?
Yeah, that's some mighty poor shooting, especially using rocket-propelled grenades and suicide car bombs.
Well, the Iraqi version of it was a little bit different.
Really?
You're going to have two different... Of course, they were saying they killed dozens of troops and stuff and vehicles, and they even claimed they took a helicopter down, so...
Well, now we're finding out maybe why it was they were attacking, because they are kind of, we think of those societies as sort of misogynistic, but they really are kind of persnickety about their women. And I was browsing the wires today. Turns out even the United States military has admitted we are holding women at Abu Ghraib.
We're the new Nazis.
Sickening, Jethro.
It's unreal. Is there no end?
Well, I resent it for the perversion of what has been a noble and upstanding, or at least tried to be, military. The boots on the ground I still respect. But the people who wanted this war have done everything in their power to pervert the noble nature of our military. Another story I saw yesterday. We haven't heard much about it lately, all Pope, all Terry Schiavo, all the time.
But it turns out the American military brass are still begging for armored Humvees.
Sure, but they're going to keep that quiet. I'm sure all the troops still do not have, vast armor and stuff. It's a complete mess, and they're still going to try to paint the United States as the moral leader of the world. And the only people that are going to buy that or swallow that whole are these Republican fools, because the rest of the world knows what's up.
Yeah.
They know what we're doing, and I think they're working behind the scenes to put a stop to it.
But Jethro, there's nobody. There is nothing that could happen. This much we have to come to grips with. There is nothing that could happen that would turn that 13 or 20% away from these creepy killers. They've got it. You know, these are the people that they have a death grip on, and it goes both ways. And that no atrocity, no horror, no crime, no murder, no slaughter, no rape, no nothing would ever turn the people who turned to Jerry Falwell away from the Republican Party.
Right. Well, now Bush's approval ratings are down way low, about what they were before 9/11.
Yep.
What does that tell you could happen?
Big darkness soon come.
Bush needs another staged attack to get the support of the people again, get everybody behind him,
Well, every time his numbers dip, something awful happens.
So
You can plot it on a graph. And, what's more, No, never mind. I lost it there. Sorry. Hey, Jethro, we got to run.
All right, Bob.
Later.
Take it easy.
All right. Good to hear from him. Let's see. Let's take a quick break, then we'll come back and more of your phone calls. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Cellular One for my birthday, finally.
Cool, what else I got?
Well, it's a camera phone, so I can take pictures and send them to people. See, here you are. And I can program it for your picture to come up when you call and give you your own ringtone.
Oh, I feel so special.
Listen. Check it out. There's text messaging, too. But you know what I like best? I can hook up to the web and check out all the scores.
Geez, I didn't know that was important.
Well, sure it is.
Right now, get 2 free months of unlimited picture messaging with new Cellular One service, plus $10 off any camera phone in stock. And with Cellular One, you can use your cool new phone in more places than with any other carrier in the region. But of course, you already knew that. And just whose ring would that be?
Nobody.
Cellular One, we're here for you.
At Bruce's Carpet Care, we treat your carpet like dirt. That's why we clean it with such care. We'll move your furniture and put it back. Give free estimates. We never miss appointments. And we're offering a spring special. 4 rooms and scotch guards for just $99. We have 3 trucks to serve you better. We've got the most advanced equipment. And we're very professional. But to be honest, we're going to treat your carpet like dirt and clean it accordingly. Bruce's Carpet Care. 253-3419. 253-3419.
WWNR Beckley.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Straight to the phones. David's with us. Hey, David, you're head on. David.
Oh, hello, Bob.
There you are.
I didn't get the wonderful noise. I wasn't sure I was there.
Well, we're stealthy that way.
Some nights the magic works.
Yes, indeed.
Well, I heard earlier, just a few moments ago, I heard the delay word, and that fits. That's the thing I wanted to mention. I want I want our right-wing brothers and sisters to realize something. I want to paint a little picture for them. I want to fill in some details. I want them to please understand what they've gotten in bed with. Mr. DeLay said judges must be held accountable. That held accountable phrase, Bob, you and I and a lot of other people know that's code.
Yeah.
That's code for take them down.
Yeah, that's code for kill them dead.
If the ballot box doesn't work, if the protest doesn't work, that's code for take them down. And I know our right-wing brothers and sisters are saying, why, David, you're nuts. That's not what he's saying. He's just making a point. But men like DeLay are appealing to a very small percentage. 54 million Americans voted for that despicable person in the White House. I pity them. I may never forgive them, but they did. It takes only a small percentage to be in that right-wing nutcase fringe that DeLay wants to appeal to. And it's that fringe, it's that outer element, it's that dangerous level of person. It's those folks that a guy like Randall Carey wants to appeal to. It's those Randall Carey-type followers, the ones that he calls to action. You know, men like Paul Hill.
Exactly.
You remember who Paul Hill
is? Oh, sure, I remember who Paul Hill is. You know, another killer.
Yeah, Randall Carey thinks of him as God's trigger finger.
Yep.
God's trigger finger. If we don't like how they honor the laws of America, we'll just simply kill them. And just like Al-Qaeda, we'll fly to heaven faster than anybody else.
Just like Al-Qaeda. You said a mouthful.
Don't forget it. Your friend, he was in my newspaper, Mr. Richard Land. If we're going to live the way we really want to and need to, you know, a few have to die. Is that an accurate paraphrase?
That is. That is. Richard Land, president, whatever, of the Southern Baptist Convention.
One of the most exalted poobahs in the organization.
A few have to die.
A few have to die. A few doctors we disagree with. Oh, a few judges we disagree with. Oh, maybe some newspaper people.
Or lawyers.
Or maybe just citizens in Florida that don't show signs of voting just right. Well, if they don't get the message with getting bumped off the voter rolls, you know, people could show up at 1 o'clock in the morning at those little houses they live in.
Well, look how much easier that just got. Look at the bill that Jeb Bush is going to sign.
Oh, really? Tell me.
All you have to do is feel threatened in Florida. You don't have to retreat. You don't have to run and hide. You don't have to try to get away. Now in Florida, if you feel threatened, you can turn around and bust a cap in somebody. As soon as Jeb Bush signs it, and he's promised that he will.
So at 11:30 on a given night in South Florida, a car with three teenagers in it could stop at a traffic light. The music could be loud. And in the company of, you know, my female friend, one of the kids could hang his head out the window and wave a fist and say, "Nice legs, old lady." I could feel threatened and boom. If I've got three accurate shots, I can kill the kids, right?
And you will be immune from civil or criminal prosecution as long as you can justify the threat.
Welcome to Westworld, Florida style.
Yeah, and especially if they're dark-skinned children, you know, because they're dangerous.
Well, of course. Well, now that I've insulted all the right-wingers that go to Pentecostal, evangelical, snowcannon churches, I want to throw a little mud toward our Catholic brothers and sisters.
Go ahead.
Just this evening, part of the, I don't know what you would call it, the proceedings tomorrow, but by papal description, the third most prestigious presentation position. I don't know if they're doing a PowerPoint or not for the Pope tomorrow, but anyway, there's going to be a big presentation of sorts, and there's various ones, and the third most prestigious spot
is going to go to one, is it Bishop? I think it would be Bernard Law. Does that name ring a bell?
Oh, God, yes.
The third most prestigious presenter in the Pope's funeral would be Bernard Law, the man that turned his head so that child molesters could go on.
Call them what they are, David. They are kitty rapers.
So those fine fathers and fine padres in New England could keep it up. Oops, sorry, Bob. Bad choice of words.
There. Yeah, they didn't want
it. Got it. Well, anyway, so that those...
I had no idea. That's disgusting, David. I mean, that is truly disgusting. Bernard Law is third up?
He is the third most prestigious speaker, presenter, reader of the Latin, mumbler of the words, whatever it may be.
So what is this, the Pope Pius XII Award or something? You know, where you turn your, you know, because he turned his back on the Holocaust. This guy, and there's no doubt. I mean, the guy should be under indictment.
Well, the College of Cardinals, after getting his rear end out of New England, out of America, just ahead of
the indictment,
some indictment or another. Well, now they're going to put his silk-robed keister right up there so that he can explain all anyone. And it disgusts me because members of my family are part of the Catholic Church, and I understand their decision, and I will never speak against it. There are elements of the Catholic Church going back 1,500 years that disgust me. There are elements of it that are wonderful.
Yeah.
Catholic fathers were wonderful to my grandfather at a great time indeed. I'll never forget that.
Mm-hmm.
But things like this blind eye toward child molestation followed by an exalted position. Bernard Law should be privileged if he is in a small church in the middle of nowhere, let alone on the podium to exalt a pope.
Mm. Another guy wearing a dress.
Ugh.
That's just David. Oh,
gosh! I hate to.
No! I needed to know that. Because we point out hypocrisy where it exists, and nobody gets a pass.
Well, I'm sorry. The Catholic Church, as far as I'm concerned, the Catholic Church gets a big rap on the knuckles, and I'm serious.
bring out the nun. Yeah, stick out, buddy.
Where is Sister Mary Discipline and that long, hard ruler? She needs to be around.
Oh, Lord, she's needed in Rome tonight. David, we got to go.
Call the Penguin, room 221.
We'll see you. See you. I get a laugh out of it somewhere along the way. Thanks, David.
See ya.
Bye. Okay, back to the phones when we come back for our break. Stick with us. I'm sorry you guys are having to wait, but I've been going as fast as I can. I try to give everybody a fair shake. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
WWNR News. Fire broke out this morning at a popular place in downtown Sofia, the China One restaurant on Main Street. Fire started and was discovered this morning about 8 o'clock. Crews from the Sofia City and volunteer fire departments, as well as Coal City, Lester, and Beaver departments responded. Mark Trotter is chief of Sofia's fire department.
When we first arrived, we see smoke coming from the ceiling, a little fire. Heavy black smoke. Our main concern was people in apartments next to it, the adjacent building. We've evacuated him first off when we attacked the fire. He was under control within 15 to 20 minutes at the time we got started on him. It's totally out. We're just going through doing a mop-up now.
No one was injured in this morning's fire, but the kitchen portion of the restaurant is a total loss. The remainder of the building appears to be salvageable. Chief Trotter said employees were in the restaurant until 2 o'clock this morning cleaning, but it does not appear the fire is suspicious. A judge has postponed a federal civil rights case brought against the Fayette County Board of Education. Roy Bell claims the board and its staff failed to protect his son from people who can harm him. 12-year-old Jeremy Bell died in November of 1997 while on a camping trip within Beckwith Elementary principal Edgar Fredericks, Jr. Fredericks was convicted in 2002 for sexually abusing some former students and is awaiting trial on murder charges for Bell's death. A motorcycle rider was seriously injured last night on Route 41 near Leyland. The accident occurred at around 8 o'clock. Emergency officials say the rider struck a rock. The victim reportedly had a compound fracture of one leg and possible head and neck fractures. It's not known if the rider was wearing the helmet. The victim was health netted to CAMC. The rider's name and condition were not released today. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for this evening. Cloudy with showers continuing. Tonight, showers likely, with a low tonight near 49, and then for Friday, a chance of showers and cloudy, high in the upper 50s. Showers on Friday night, then for Saturday, partly cloudy, high 60, clear Saturday night, low 40, and Sunday, sunny, with a high again in the mid-60s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
The Bushites are pushing ferociously for quick passage of their scheme to privatize our Social Security system, backed by political front groups funded by the Wall Street interests that will make a killing if the scheme passes. The problem for the privatizers, however, is that the more people learn about the plan, the more they oppose it. One thing that Bush and Company really hope you don't learn is that other people have already experienced privatization. George is presently hopping around the country with Little Rosie Scenario on his shoulder, promising a golden future with privatized retirement. But folks in several states here in America and in several countries have seen that future and recoiled from it. For example, Nebraska, West Virginia, Montana, Michigan, Ohio, and Florida have tried shifting their public employees into do-it-yourself private retirement accounts, but the efforts failed. Once the employees saw the plans, very few took the bait, and those that did generally ended up with lower benefits than they would have gotten from the public system they left. Likewise, the rush to privatize pensions in Chile, England, and elsewhere has not ended happily for retirees. In Chile, for example, the government now has to pour billions of dollars annually into the private system, for it can't provide enough benefits to poor workers to assure even the basic needs. And middle-class retirees find that hidden fees in the private accounts take as much as a third of the money they had put into them, leaving retirees with far less than they would have gotten under the public system. And England's 20-year run with its privatized system has produced fraudulent brokers, exorbitant fees, taxpayer bailouts, and the harsh reality that at least 75% of those with private accounts will not have enough in them at retirement time for, quote, adequate pensions. This is Jim Hightower saying, before you buy Bush's rhetoric, check the reality of experience.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
WWNR Beckley.
Back to radio for the rest of us. And on.
Welcome back. 21 minutes before 9 o'clock at Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And straight to the phones. Ed's been waiting. Ed, thank you for waiting. You're Head On.
Oh, you're very welcome, Bob. I just wanted to comment on some things that said. I always like to hear old Jethro, especially when he gets on Steve and gets his decibel static. But I want to comment on Jeff.
Yeah.
You know what? He gets some good information, but then he goes back to old the morning show guy, and he has to get it okay, and he gets put down, and he keeps coming back to him. If he would go out on his own, he'd probably make some pretty good points.
Well, I think he's got his head on his shoulders where the Walmart law that was passed, that's being passed in Maryland's concerned. It's the right way to do things.
I do too, but if he don't go back to Steve in the morning and get turned around backwards. But anyway, on Walmart, I had a couple comments on that. I think we're being done about like we did the Indians. You know, we're going to be trampled on.
Yeah.
And as long as we get people like Doug Matty, who worked in Charleston, come back here, and he's one of the Chamber of Commerce people, and right away they put him on the Zoning Commission over there. And that's what we got. That most of that board is made up of that type of people. And as long as we got that, and as long as we got the county commission, the majority of them, like they are, they're going to continue to ram stuff down our throat. So the people really need to show up at the polls. They need to get rid of this, I call them capitalist suck. Anything they can suck around and get a dollar out of,
Well, Ed, you're hitting the nail on the head, but there's only one problem here, and it's something I tried to touch on a little bit. This Walmart issue in Fayetteville, it impacts everybody in Fayette County.
Uh-huh.
And yet the decision is being made solely by the city government of Fayetteville.
That's right.
And that's wrong. And I mean, if they ran this thing down our throats, I would love to have the opportunity to vote against the mayor of Fayetteville, but I'm disenfranchised. I'm just a guy who lives in Fayette County, and we're that Walmart is going to kill my food land.
Yeah. Well, it's going to kill a lot of stuff. And people don't realize once Walmart gets a monopoly, then they're not going to see that consistent so-called drop in prices that they project right now. It's just like the insurance companies. When they get a hold on you, where the state passes a law that you have to have insurance, and then they turn around and undermine it by going down there and taking your rights away from you. But anyway, I'm just down. I've known Doug Matty a long time, and he's anti-everything. He's as bad as Rush Limbaugh. And I've known him for 30 years now.
But what about the rest of the city fathers of Fayetteville?
Well, I can't really speak against. I don't like the mayor. I don't like his position. But I don't know which one of the zoning commissions yet. But I do know quite a few people in Fayetteville. And when I get their records, I'm going to go to the people I know and start spreading the word and get rid of these people. We don't need them. You know, we just don't need that type of people in Fayetteville. And you know what?
I mean, are these Democrats?
Yeah. You know, well, they're Democrats. They're Republicans wearing a Democrat coat.
Democrats
like
in name only.
Senators from this county. Probably the only time he ever voted Democrat was for Manchin or himself, and the only reason he registered that way is, and I've got his voting record coming, and I'm going to expose the whole the stuff I know on him as quick as I get it. I'm going to make it complete. And I promise you, I'll do the first part of it on your show.
Okay.
But, on the oil thing, people are overlooking the fact how much oil the Bushes own and how many wells they got capped. Well, when this thing gets high enough, they're going to open those wells. And then I heard old Brother Roy this morning, the Alabama preacher, or whatever he calls himself, he comes on there and said, well, if oil was the problem since we got control of Iraq, why ain't it cured it? Does he not know that there's an oil committee over there, or what they call OPEC?
Yeah.
And that Saudi Arabia is probably one of our worst enemies as far as furnishing money to the terrorist group, and yet we haven't done nothing about that. If we're going to take oil, let's take it. You know, that's what it's all about. And he is, that kind of people are so stupid. It's even been in the national news that this has come down. It's not about weapons of mass destruction. It's not about democracy. It's done come down to where it's about oil.
Well,
you get somebody that's that stupid, and of course that's the typical preacher. And I'm not downing all preachers, Bob, but that's the typical preachers now.
Well, what we, you know, in talking about the oil, there's a comparison that needs to be made. Now, George Bush said when he ran that he would use his influence because he was close friends with the Saudi royal family. He said he would use his influence to keep gasoline prices low. You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, whose standards? You know, whether you're
a
millionaire or whether you're a poor person.
But wait a minute. Here's the fun part. Now, Bill Clinton was not bosom buddies with the Saudi royal family.
Mm-hmm.
Oil never got above $22 a barrel during the 8 years of the Clinton administration. Now, here's a guy who is, Bush, who is buddies with the Saudi royal family, who has oil investments up to his greasy hair. And what's oil? $55, $56, $57, $58 a barrel? Well, why would that be? Now, why would that, you know, people can't imagine that the guy would want to enrich his family at the expense of the American people? Oh, no, no, of course not, because he's a Christian. My maiden
aunt. Yeah, he's a Christian. Tell that to them soldiers' families that he had killed over there for oil. It's just so disgusting that it's hard to get up and wear a smile in the morning. You know, you got to try to put on a happy face, but it's you know, the Bushes make it impossible. You know, they knowing what's going on in this world. But you know, the saddest part of it is a lot of the American people still swallow that stuff. But I really believe if that election was held today over, it'd be a different tale. Those numbers would be turned around.
Well, I think you may very well be right. But you got to remember all the lies and filth that were put out there to get George reelected. And if it was held today, they would be doing the same thing all over again, and we wouldn't have heard the things that we have heard since he was reelected.
Yeah, but I'm talking about if it's being held today on what he's done with Social Security.
Oh yeah,
and not curing and not being able to do anything about this war, and they're still going to try to unload that country back on the coalition of the people over there. And then pull our troops out, and we're right back where we was.
Well, you know, the UK is pulling most of their troops out. We've lost the Italians, we've lost the Poles, we've lost the Bulgarians, we've lost the monkeys from Morocco, and it's going to leave us high and dry. And here's the fun part, though. I've got a story in the stack somewhere. Condoleezza Rice scared the absolute daylights out of Iraq about a week ago when she said, "Well, look, we're probably just going to pull out even if democracy's not fully flowering here, and you guys will have to sort it
That's
out
exactly
for yourselves."
That's exactly what I'm saying in a roundabout way, I guess. They're going to pull out, and what is the insurgents going to do then?
Well,
you know, they can't stop them now.
Right. They'll just ratchet it up a little bit.
Uh-huh. Well, I just wanted to call in and give my comments.
Well, I appreciate it,
Ed. Old brother Roy, you know, they need to pray for that good brother.
All right.
Ready to go back to Alabama. Bob, I'll talk to you later.
Thanks,
buddy.
Ed. Later. All right. 12 minutes before 9 o'clock at News Talk 620. Let's go to Chris. Hey, Chris, you head on.
Hey, Bob.
What's happening?
I'll give you a choice, man. I can talk about a government FBI cover-up in Cambodia, or I'll talk about the Pope.
Oh, well, start with the Pope.
Okay. Did you see Laura with her little black lace over her head?
Yeah, the mantilla, yeah.
Yeah, don't cry for me, Imelda Marcos.
and you know, that's got to just work over people like Bob Jones and the really hateful anti-Catholic Republicans to see George Bush sitting there kneeling in front of the body of the Pope.
Well, he has to. That's a culture of death. I didn't tell you. I don't know why you haven't listened to me.
Oh, how
culture
true.
Of death.
Yes, it is.
I mean
yes,
life. I mean death. Anyway, God, it's disgusting. I'm reading this new book, The New Killing Fields, Massacre and the Politics of Intervention.
Okay.
And it talks about a government cover-up in Cambodia. Hun Sen, you know, the... Oh, God. The leader over there, the quote-unquote.
Right.
There was a demonstration by the Buddhist Liberal Democratic Party. And Hun Sen and his people said, basically, if you protest, we'll throw grenades at you.
Well, that ought to give you pause.
Well, you know, not fire into the crowd like Britain did in India. We'll just throw grenades at you. And guess what? They protested in 97 and threw grenades into the crowd.
Mm.
And the witnesses chased the guys that threw the grenades. And they were stopped at gunpoint by Hun Sen's bodyguards. Now, I quote, the FBI was called in because an American was injured in what was considered a quote-unquote terrorist attack. The FBI quickly concluded that Hun Sen was the only person who could have given the order for the grenade attack. Virtually everyone in Cambodia saw this incident as an attempted assassination of the leader of the opposition designed to send a message to Cambodians to avoid oppositional politics. Worried that the investigation was moving too close to Hun Sen and would further destabilize Cambodia, the U.S. ambassador ordered the FBI out of the country and the investigation ground to a halt.
Hey, brother.
I tell you what, control the media and you control what?
Well, have you ever read Dune?
Yeah.
He who controls the spice?
Yeah.
Controls the universe. And you know, he who controls the media controls America.
And that is, same thing goes along with the Immobiliari, the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talk about this child molester is going to be up there and taking a major part in the funeral. Well, I got a thing for you. Can you imagine all these priests that have been molesting kids for decades? Will you ever see a priest get tested for AIDS?
No. Not that we'll know of.
Not that we'll know of. Could the Vatican have been in supporting the spread of AIDS?
Indirectly. I mean, that's this Bernard Law creep. He's not alleged to have diddled any kids. What he did was when he found out that they had a kiddie rapist in a particular parish, before people could get too terribly outraged, you know, he wouldn't pull the priest out of circulation. He'd move him to another parish where he could diddle more kids.
Yeah.
And he did it time after time after time after time. There's no question about this. I mean, it's not even speculative. Okay? There's no speculation about it. He did that. I mean, in the addiction business, what do you call it? An enabler.
Yeah.
You know, the enabler is as bad as the addict.
They're talking more and more about we've got to appoint a new pope. It gets back to the way things have been in the past. I've heard them say that time and again.
Well, this whole papacy was about how things were in the past. Say good.
Well, they wanted to go even more right wing.
Yeah, it's right. Say good things about what you know. He stood up for organized labor in Poland, and he stood up for the rights to organize all over the world. That's progressive. That's downright liberal.
Yeah.
It's admirable. He said things about capitalism that would turn a Republican's hair white in a matter of minutes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And so those are laudable things. But by the same token, because they are entrenched in their ancientness, and feel like they cannot change, and they cannot grow, and they cannot increase. Increase isn't the right word, but sure. They can't. They cannot modify their stances with the times or based upon science.
No.
Because of all of this, Chris, they run a real risk to the world and do a real disservice to the world. I heard it said that there was some hope that this Archbishop Arunze from Nigeria would be elected the next pontiff, because maybe then we would have some change toward the church's view on birth control. But Arunze is a conservative out of the same cut as John Paul, because they were bosom buddies.
I was watching AMC today, and they were showing Gregory Peck and MacArthur. And there's a line in the movie that said, the Japanese are putting out propaganda that the United States will never support or fight for a country with brown skinned people. And I thought, oh my God. You know,
kind of
propaganda,
yeah.
Huh?
Or maybe opinion of a valid nature. Damn it, you know. What? How you pay a lot of attention to what goes on in Africa, Chris? How many people die from AIDS every day there?
Every day, I'm not sure on a date of every day, but I'll give you a figure of Rwanda. In 10 months, 800,000 people die.
Of AIDS?
No, violence.
Okay, I don't know.
That's not even touching AIDS.
Right, but I mean AIDS is running roughshod.
Oh, they say in the next 10 years it's going to be 90 million.
And the church, and this is the part I can't get my head around, Chris, the church, which is dedicated to saving people's souls, and if you think that...
Oh, they call it the sanctity of life and not the culture of life.
Right. But Mother Teresa busted her hump in Calcutta.
Yeah.
Trying to alleviate suffering.
You mustn't use a condom. You mustn't use
right.
a condom.
Right. But if you use a condom... if you pass them out in Africa among, I don't care if they're Muslims, Catholics, the pantheists, deists.
Who cares?
Yeah, pass them out, and maybe you can get a handle on the disease, and the church says, no, 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 we need to spread more AIDS because condoms are of the devil, and boy, I can't get my mind around that one.
Well, they talked to Bono about the Pope after he died, and I just adore Bono. I think he's great. His Data Foundation is just...
Yeah.
I have written letters on behalf of them, and he said something that I just loved. It got in the media. It spread all over the world. He said he was a great man. He liked him, but he supported a position on not supporting birth control that he just couldn't support. And I thought, man, that is great. That got picked up on the wires all over the world, Bono saying that the Pope didn't support birth control.
Well, and the thing is, it flies in the face of science. If you get right down, I don't want to be too nitty-gritty, but if you get right down to it, every egg that a woman produces does not turn into a baby.
Oh, no.
And so the logical extension of the church's argument is that every egg should turn into a baby.
Not supporting the use of condoms in Africa is like being around during the Black Plague, going door to door and saying, do you have anybody there in your house that is suffering from the plague? Can I hug them?
Yeah, or using that as a very good analogy, Chris, by the same token, it's like going around during the Black Plague and saying, have you got any rats in your house? And the people say no, and you say, would you like some?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's actively participating in the spread of a disease that runs the risk of killing the world.
Remember that episode of MASH when they were having the hemorrhagic fever, and it was the mites and the fleas on the rats that was causing
right.
the fever. And Frank Burns said he had already carried a few rats out to the trash, but, you know, this doesn't happen. And they had to remind him that it was the mites and the fleas on the rat. You kill the rat, and the mites and fleas are going to jump on them.
That's kind of what we got going on, isn't it, Chris? We got to roll, though. Appreciate the call.
Bob, take care.
Later. Okay, time for our top-of-the-hour news break. The night is flying by again. When we come back, your calls, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Your opportunity to get in now. Got a couple of open lines. This is Head On. You know who I am. I'm Bob Kincaid.
medications commonly prescribed to older adults can wreak havoc on our ability to drive. Except for alcohol, prescribed medication is responsible for more traffic crashes than any single illicit drug. So before you get behind the wheel, read the warning labels on all prescription and over-the-counter medications, and always check with your doctor or pharmacist when taking multiple medications.
For a free brochure on older driver safety, call 1-800-993-7222. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Forget report card day.
How was school?
Yeah, my mom and dad sure didn't.
Why don't we take a look at that report card?
Can Jimmy come out and play?
Oh, not this month. He'll be doing homework with his dad.
Family, isn't it about time? From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. Depend on it. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
As times change, our bodies process medications differently. That's why it's important to talk to your doctor or pharmacist about your medications. For our free brochure, As You Age, a guide to aging, medicines, and alcohol, call 1-800-662-HELP. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Still under the influence of the mother low at about 30,000 feet. A lot of cold air aloft, so showers and maybe a rumble of thunder through this evening. Overnight low 51, as we expect rain in the morning, diminishing to a few showers by afternoon on Friday. For the 56, pretty raw afternoon. Back to 42 tomorrow night as the atmosphere begins to dry out. And Saturday, partly cloudy, 58, back into the 60s on Sunday.
WWNR Beckley.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. Question was posed, did John Paul II have any family? To the best of my knowledge, he didn't. But that's not to say that's a definitive answer. Although, I don't know if it was the same thing that prompted the question, but they were talking about the reading of the will.
Why did he have a will? He didn't own anything. Did he?
I always thought of the papacy as sort of a lease. You know, you got to use all the fancy stuff while you were there, but none of it became yours. But I don't know. I'm not on the inside of that kind of stuff. But to return to the topic that Chris touched on, and that being birth control, this is a classic example of the disconnect or the hypocrisy of the right. Because, you know, if everybody is part of the culture of life, you would expect some consistency. And you're beginning to see it. Now, these self-same people who refer to Roman Catholics with all these nasty, vile, vulgar names and are members of the Republican Party, you know, the Bob Jones crowd, at the same time that they hate the church and hate the people who are members of the church and hate everything that the church stands for, they'll adopt their policies. For instance, you've got this freakish movement running among pharmacists now, where a married woman can show up at the pharmacy counter with a prescription duly written by a practicing physician, legally permitted to write such prescriptions, shows up at the prescription counter, and it's happening all over America now, shows up at the prescription counter with a prescription for birth control pills. Married woman. And the pharmacy, there are bills all over the country in various and sundry legislatures that some of them passed and enacted into law, some that are in the process of becoming law, saying that a pharmacist can refuse for, and some of these bills are called things like conscientious objector. A pharmacist can refuse to fill that prescription because they believe that, and this is one of those sick little terms out of this sick little hypocritical, disgusting, the right-wing so-called pro-life movement. It's not pro-life, it's anti-womb, you know that. But that birth control pills create silent abortions. Really? Now, I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty nuts and bolts or anything, but I thought, I thought every time a woman had a period, it was kind of a silent abortion. That's an unused egg being sort of cast out, right? Because it didn't get fertilized. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm a guy. I could be. But this is one of the fundamental hypocritical problems of the church and most of the pro-life movement. To sit there and say that peasants have to have a baby every time they have sex. It's crazy. It's just crazy. Any person who has sat through the West Virginia Hunter Education course knows the definition of carrying capacity. It's the ability of any given environment to support life upon it. It's often cited as a reason for deer hunting. That if you don't thin the herd will overpopulate, and you'll have starvation herd-wise. Okay, that's applying to, animals. We're animals. We're all animals. And the carrying capacity is the carrying capacity of planet Earth. So when you tell, one of the growth hotspots, not surprising, of the church is Central America, Latin America, Mexico, South America. And you've got people down there that can barely feed themselves, let alone an entire family full of children. And those children suffer with starvation. And they suffer from disease. Malnourishment. And the church sits there high and mighty and says, make more babies. And a cynical person would suggest that the only reason they want more babies made is because they want more members. I hope that's not... Well, I don't know. Maybe you tell me. And now that you can... That people can die from sex. I mean, what's the estimate? 90 million in the next 10 years will be dead in Africa from AIDS? Or HIV? And as much as the right wing would like to think it, those aren't all homosexuals. It is passed heterosexually in Africa and Asia. And the church sits there with a mandate from Christ to feed my sheep and to ease the suffering of the world. Because, again, suffering is not a good thing. And says, make more babies. We command you. And don't use a condom. I mean, I think there's a halfway point on this road. I could see the logic in the church authorizing condoms, but not birth control pills. Condoms, but not IUDs. IUDs, birth control pills, they won't stop the spread of a disease that threatens the entirety of the human race. Condoms do. Little devices that have been with us from the times of the Egyptians, if not before. And to sit and say, no, they existed at the time of Christ, okay? They existed at the time and were used at the time of Christ. And oddly enough, Christ was silent on them. Apparently it wasn't something that bothered him. Now, they existed at the time. Maybe we could wonder, is his silence his tacit approval thereof? But you'll never hear one of these pro-life freaks acknowledging that. That's history, that's sociology, that's science. And they don't have any truck with any of that because it's pure, rank, stinking emotionalism. No brains involved. But literally, the church's bullheaded stance on condoms threatens the entire world. You heard the phrase a few nights ago, the big die-off. That could be part of it. What do you know about the Black Plague? What do you know about the Black Death? What do you know about how much of the population it killed off? And it was just something that was brought from India? Or maybe started in Asia? and just progressed everywhere it went and wiped out, in some places, half the population, in some places more than that. And these were primitive peoples, relatively speaking, who had no idea why it was happening, what caused it, how it was, where it came from, except that God did it because we're bad. You know, the same thing that Jerry Falwell said about 9/11. Tells you a lot about how intelligent he is. We know what's going on in Africa. The church knows what's going on in Africa. And to sit there and say, nah, can't pass out any condoms. I mean, do you realize that there are government provisions in our country that is separated, that has a wall of separation between church and state, per the words of Thomas Jefferson. I know it doesn't appear in the Constitution. Lay off. Don't send emails. Our country that stands threatened by this. Because we've got a culture of life, we hold up programs that would try to arrest the spread of HIV in Africa because of good-for-nothing Republicans. My God. Talk about being penny-wise and pound-foolish. Talk about the grasshopper and the ant. Talk about eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Now I'm going to go fill up my SUV and drive it around a little bit because two or three generations from now, we all may be crawling with AIDS. Jesus. Really? That's not an oath. That's a prayer. How do we reach these people? There's the greater inquiry. Can you reach the brain dead? Now, I'm going to say something here that I'll probably regret, but I think it's time to remove the elephant as the symbol of the Republican Party and replace it with Terri Schiavo. Because to stand and do nothing in the wake or in the face of things that can destroy the planet, how can you suggest that a rational thinking human being does that? That's the actions of the brain dead, isn't it? Time for our bottom of the quarter hour break. Sorry, my bad. When we come back, maybe we'll play around in some fun West Virginia stuff. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There's a tornado.
Or there's a forest fire.
Where Mother Nature is at her worst.
Oh, yeah. There's a search and there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
Yeah. Disaster strikes, so one volunteer for us.
Helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
You are the Civil Air Patrol. The official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force. To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
Paying too much at the pump? Your monthly gas budget more expensive than your car payment?
Jeez!
If so, 40 miles per gallon on the highway must sound like a dream come true. Well, time to wake up and get to L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. We've got 35 Corollas available. And with 40 miles per the gallon on the highway, that makes Corolla one of the most fuel-efficient cars on the road.
Yes! 40 miles per the gallon!
All right! And Corollas aren't the only Toyotas that will give you more bang for your buck in the pump. Choose from 25 available Camrys with 33 miles to the gallon and 49 available Tacomas with 27 miles to the gallon. You won't just save money on your car. You'll save big on your gas bill with 35 Corollas, 25 Camrys, and 49 Tacomas available. What else can you ask for? L&S Toyota. This is www.toyota.com.
A message for older drivers from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety. If you find that you have to drive at night, travel in well-lighted areas when possible.
Make sure your headlights are clean.
Keep your windshield clear, both inside and out.
Avoid driving at night in the rain or other foul weather.
Also, try to avoid busy streets or other stressful situations.
It's what makes an older driver a wiser and safer driver.
For a free brochure on older driver safety, call 1-800-993-7222.
WWNR Beckley.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 20 minutes after 9. Like I said, fun with stuff in the legislature. I'm honest to God, I'm about legislatured out, too. I'm all poked out, shivoed out, and legislatured out. And somewhere along the way, they've got something in common. The pharmaceutical bill. I use this phrase from time to time. A pox on them. A pox on the Senate. Senate committee altered the House version of a bill that would give the state's new pharmaceutical advocate power to negotiate prescription drug prices. You remember when they passed the Medicare prescription drug bill in Congress, and it had this cute little provision where the federal government could not negotiate with the drug manufacturers for lower prices by virtue of volume discount buying? You know, the kind of buying that Walmart does. Walmart could do what the federal government couldn't, according to the Republican Medicare prescription drug bill. Guess what? The West Virginia Senate did the same rotten, damned thing. A Senate committee has altered the House version of a bill that would give the state's new pharmaceutical advocate power to negotiate prescription drug prices. Like I read, the committee removed House provisions that would have set the deeply discounted federal supply schedule as the benchmark for state price negotiations. That's where the negotiations started and went down from there under the House bill. Senate said, oh my goodness, we can't offend the drug companies. Damn. Now, and I'm going to say, listen, I don't see this as a partisan political issue. I see this as a West Virginia people's issue. Apparently, once again, we have failed to get through to our elected so-called representatives, be they Republican or Democrat. Under the bill, before the Senate gutted it, drug companies would have had to seek waivers to justify prices above the schedule for drugs that were sold to state-managed health care plans. The Senate gutted it. There will come a day in West Virginia when West Virginians will learn how to be progressive again. There is no benefit to this state for the people to lay down and let their elected representatives bow and scrape and kowtow and publicly humiliate themselves and the people who put them in office before corporate America. And that is what the Senate did. You see, the Senate, what the Senate did is they turned the bill back into the bill that Joe Manchin sent them. Joe Manchin sent them a bill with no teeth. The House put teeth in it. And now the Senate has sat down, and I don't know if intravenous sedation or general anesthesia was used, but those teeth have damn sure been pulled. And now the drug bill just dies. It is stone cold dead. It is stiff. And we have the West Virginia Senate to thank for it. Don't know what's going on in there. Don't know if they've got some sort of secret lodge high sign. What the hell are they thinking? Who do they represent? You know who they represent. Democrats and Republicans alike, when they stand there and they line up to pull the teeth out of a bill that would just, you know, give a little bit of accountability. When they destroy that, you know who they represent. In this particular instance, they represent the pharmaceutical industry. All this crap seems to happen in the Senate. This body dishonors itself when it behaves like this. It dishonored itself when it sent the, over the objections of Jeff Kessler, a senator who seems to have, at least some portion of his head on his shoulders, sent that god-awful third-party bad faith bill sailing out of the Senate and in I guess, some sort of vain hope that maybe the House of Delegates would have enough starch and common sense and guts to fix it for him. Session ends at midnight Saturday. Can't end soon enough. And now what the Senate did to this bill, it doesn't have a waiver provision that could be invoked if drug companies, here's that damned phrase again, refuse to negotiate in good faith. Now, we're all faith-based, aren't we? These the freakish good-for-nothing womb control crowd says they're all about faith. These right-wing preachers that support blowing up Iraq say they're all about faith. And yet, you can't get them to use that chokehold to get them to make the drug companies behave in good faith. We can't make insurance companies behave in good faith. A pox on them. You hear me? A pox on them. What happened to the breastfeeding bill today? Anybody know? I don't know. The Senate of the state of West Virginia is becoming an embarrassment to themselves and to us. And somewhere out there, maybe listening, maybe not, somewhere out there is somebody that has an inkling that maybe they'd like to restore a little bit of responsibility and credibility and decency to the Senate. Well, it's going to be hard if they want to try. Because, our little, I told you last week, our little clean elections bill, requiescat in pace, rest in peace. There's a great day coming. Don't know when it's going to be, but there is a great day coming. Godfrey Daniel, mother of pearl, there is a great day coming. And we will send these people who will not represent us home. You ain't got it. For that matter, like the old bartender used to say, you ain't got to go home, you just got to go somewhere else. Because these people occupying the Senate of the state of West Virginia, they do no dignity to the office when they do things like they did with this pharmaceutical bill. This what the Senate did with this pharmaceutical bill, face facts, was spitting in the face of state retirees on a fixed income who have to deal with things like rising pharmaceutical costs in a lot more of a real-time sort of a framework than a lot of the rest of us. A pox on them. And yet, what's the second story in the stack? Yeah, that's right. The pay raise. I think somebody's poured something into the ventilation system that blows into the Senate chambers. Something creepy going on down there. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Paul Mack, WWNR News. A group of Summers County citizens are organizing to support an excess school levy that will be voted on next month. If passed, the 75% levy would generate about $1.4 million per year and be spent to improve children's services, support for children and school employees, also to finance improvement projects. Other levy money would be spent on the public library, adult evening classes, WVU Extension Services, and a 4-H club. A Senate committee has altered the House version of a bill that would give the state's new pharmaceutical advocate power to negotiate prescription drug prices. The committee removed House provisions that would have set the deeply discounted federal supply schedule as the benchmark for state price negotiations. It would have required drug companies to seek waivers to justify prices above the schedule for drugs sold to state-managed health care plans. But the Senate Health and Human Resources Committee put the bill back to the original form introduced by Governor Manchin. After ruling that a fire that killed a prominent McDowell County politician and doctor as arson, authorities are now treating the crime as murder. 70-year-old Ebb Keister Doc Whiteley died March 15th in a fire set at his Yeager home. Investigators found a pour pattern inside the house. State Fire Marshal Sterling Lewis says that indicates an accelerant was poured on the floor and then lit. House Speaker Kiss today announced the demise of legislation that would allow table games in West Virginia. The four racetracks have been pushing legislation to allow them. Voters in the counties that host the tracks would first have to approve. Those counties are Kanawha, Ohio, Hancock, and Jefferson counties. Forecast for the rest of this evening and tonight, cloudy with showers. Temperatures in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, cloudy with a chance of showers. Temperatures in the upper 50s. Friday night, a chance of showers. And a little bit cooler with a low near 39. Weekend looks nice, though. Saturday and Sunday, partly cloudy. High Saturday near 60. And high Sunday in the 60s. And then for Sunday night, clear with a low 34. Sunny on Monday with a high again, mid-60s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Roll the dice and win. I'm Chris Whitting with the Success Journal. Two teenage brothers named Charlie and George love to play board games. Their favorite? A game in which the object was to win happiness. But George decided he'd rather win money. So he turned the game of happiness into a game of banking and tried selling the product. Then someone suggested an improvement. Change it to a game of big business. The brothers said it was no good. They pointed out the flaws in the new game, but they rolled the dice anyway and put it on the market. Smart move. That game, Monopoly, passed Go and collected millions in sales. Charlie and George's last name? Parker. Parker Brothers Monopoly is one of the world's favorite games. It earns millions. With the Success Journal, I'm Chris Whitting.
If you're looking for world-class website hosting at a fair price, Pear Networks is your best choice. Founded in the early days of the web and still going strong today, Pear Networks now hosts over 150,000 websites for its demanding customers worldwide. Setting the standards for excellence, Pear Networks has a technical and support staff that's second to none. A highly stable company with top-of-the-line technology, Pear Networks offers total reliability and flexibility for your website, and even a money-back guarantee. Whether you're a professional web designer or a beginner just getting your site online, Pear Networks has a web hosting plan that's right for you. Make the move today. Log on and learn more at Pear.com. That's P-A-I-R.com. Pear Networks. World-class web hosting at a fair price. Visit us at Pear.com. Pear Networks.
Welcome to Green and Growing, the lawn care show with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, the air is getting warmer, so what should I be doing to prepare my lawn for the season? Does it need a crew cut like my son?
Don't do that, Diane. Your lawn probably wouldn't appreciate it. There's several things you can do for both cool season and warm season grass. As your lawn breaks dormancy, examine your lawn for signs of disease and insects. Mow at the minimum height to enhance turf density, and if thatch is deeper than 1/2 inch, dethatch and aerate. It's also a good idea to patch bare spots in existing lawns. use a slow-release fertilizer with 75% nitrogen, and finally, treat with a pre-emergence herbicide to conquer grassy weeds.
Then how often should I fertilize?
It's ideal to fertilize twice a year for maintaining a healthy lawn. 1 month after the lawn starts growing in the spring, and 1 month before it goes dormant.
Well, this has been another edition of Green and Growing with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru.
WWNR Beckley.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. About 24 minutes before 10 o'clock, 24 minutes left in this Thursday night edition. You know, I generally hate it as we come toward the end of the week, but to the extent that the legislative session wraps up on Saturday, it can't get here fast enough. I don't know what's going to happen on Sunday. You know, how do you do a wrap-up on what they've done? You know, tongue-splitting bills, video camera bills, stupidity writ large. Let's go to the phones real quick. Jack is with us. Hey, Jack, you're head on. Jack.
Yeah, Bob.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, Bob, only thing I want to bring up to you tonight, I'm short on my conversations. I know I am. I get upset a lot. I just don't believe in the president's brother going into China, making deals, and then here we got a Walmart. And I pray and hope. I hope that people don't sell out their little local stores.
Well, I haven't heard anything yet, Jack, but I don't expect any good news out of it.
Well, you got real estate by buying property in mountains. You know, if you go in some of the mountains, you'll find the realtors have already taken up the property.
Oh, sure. Jack, most people don't know it, but when you drive through these beautiful hills, most of it is already corporate owned. It's sad, but you're absolutely right.
Well, yeah, I used to go hunting. I mean, it's getting to where... I don't mind dealing with China. Yeah, I'll take some of their goods, but my God, don't set up Walmarts for them. Where they, I'm done with Walmart. I'll tell you, I have been there, but I guarantee I won't be going there more.
Yeah, I will. If they build this,
well, I'm going to Kroger's and the Food Line, wherever I can get. But I was telling you about one time buying a little vehicle that would get me more gas mileage,
mm-hmm.
And I don't like four wheelers. I'm no. scared of them. I just go to the store and buy my groceries to my local store. I don't have to go to Walmart. Not no, huh? They're destroying America.
Yeah, they are, Jack. They absolutely are. And I, you know, it, one person at a time. When Americans realize what Walmart wants to do to America, we've got a chance of being America again.
Well, I get to say to you, where did this Walmart come from? I want to know whose store that is.
Well, I mean, it's being built by Paramount Development of, I think, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Uh-huh. Well, think it over. And think about a president would have his brother going over into China, and we got to suck on him. We don't need to suck on nobody. We're America.
I know. And look, the older George Bush, his brother is President Emeritus, past President of the U.S.-China Chamber of Commerce.
Yes. Isn't that great?
Yeah,
isn't that wonderful?
Oh, the Bushes and the Chinese are so tight you couldn't separate them with a crowbar.
Yeah, and there's those boys over there in Iraq dying, and that sacrificed their lives for this country. We better get our wheels on, buddy.
I think
I'm
you're right,
pay
Jack.
Straight off.
All right, I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Bob.
Take it easy. Bye now. And David. Hey, David, you're head on.
Hello, Bob.
You got a little more?
You know, I do. I can't decide based on that commercial that ran during the break. There's a friend of mine, and I'll be a name-dropping. Yeah, well, anyway, I'll be a name-dropper. There's a friend of mine. His name is Marty Stewart. He loves to say that when something's gone really bad, he'll say, you know, what those folks need is a good worming. I'm sorry, but that sounded to yours. I don't know whether, based on that commercial that ran during the break, whether a pre-emergence fungicide or a good wormin is what
hey,
those boys need.
Well, it's like what I did at the top of the show, David. They need a dose of old Sam's weasel wormer.
Precisely. And, yeah, we've got some in Tennessee that aren't. There's no difference, but the one question that I would ask, will that bill that's going to just make it impossible for you guys to get on your hind legs and say, hey, Mr. Drug Company, we're going to buy this much. No. We're not going to buy a tenth of that. We're going to buy this much. What's the price? Will the awareness that that Senate screwed the state of West Virginia out of that opportunity to stand upright, is that going to be in any paper tomorrow? Will that run on a TV station? Will anybody talk about that?
I fear that we're the only ones doing it, David.
Oh, Lordy, that is... Gosh, that's disgusting.
You know, blazing away at our monstrous little 25 watts, you know, and you know, the folks who are kind enough to listen on the Internet. You know,
light of one street light, yeah, we're it. We're the sunshine law of West Virginia.
But that's been
one damn street light in Beckley.
Yeah, and that's the way it's been this whole legislative session. And to a certain extent, this station. There's a statewide talk show, crickets. You know, because people come on that show, politicians and such, and, you know, so necessarily the host is afraid to say anything about the emperor's wardrobe. Because then
he feels like if the audience is there for these politicians parading by his microphone, dishing up doublespeak and gibberish, if the audience doesn't get another double dose of doublespeak and gibberish, they'll go away. Is that?
Well, but you know, David, I think I'm a little bit different than the average critter on the radio. I'm not into guests that much, and I am not impressed by power. And I think there are others, and not necessarily on this station. That's not what I mean. But there are others who are, and they like rubbing shoulders with the Heidi Tidies. I don't care. I am not a respecter of persons, I suppose. Isn't that the old phrase?
Well, you're not a respecter of those that act that way. I'm sure there are people you can respect.
Oh, tons of them. But, I mean, I don't define myself by my ability to get people to come on the show or my ability to get people to say, hey, Bob, you know, hey, you're a great guy, and then turn around and go and do the exact opposite of what I expect out of an elected leader.
So let me get this straight. If Mr. Trump walks in the room, you could look him right square in the bridge of the nose without your eyes moving and go, Donnie, do something about the hair, Hoss.
Yeah, exactly.
There's the good lad.
Yeah, I've done that kind of thing on the show. We had Joe Manchin on when he was running for governor, and I said, look, you know, there's a lot of people that listen to this show that are going to think a lot about whether or not to vote for you based on your answer to this question. What are we going to do about 8 billion gallons of toxic sludge hanging over children's heads in a school? And he addressed it, but, you know, in typical politician running for office fashion. But, you know, at least I asked a question.
Which meant the answer evaporated over time.
Yeah, exactly. God knows the sludge isn't, but the response did.
Well, speaking of evaporating over time, do you really think we captured Osama bin Laden? I'm sorry, Saddam Hussein?
I'm beginning to wonder. Did you notice where they piped in the proceedings of the new Weimar or Iraqi parliament? Into his prison cell.
Oh, wait a minute. Tell me that again.
No, yeah. There was some report the other day in between Pope stories about how we piped in the proceedings of the initial proceedings of the Iraqi parliament. We piped it into his prison cell so that he could watch it and, you know, I suppose gnaw on his own liver.
I don't believe that it's Saddam Hussein. I think it's one of those imposters, one of those plastic surgery created body doubles. If we really had him after all of this, if we don't topple him, this bad thing will happen. Oops, well, I'm sorry. He didn't have any way to do bad things. So that we toppled him is so important to democracy. What? I'm sorry. By now, all the men after World War II that were part of the Nazi regime, Nuremberg had already happened.
Yeah.
He was toppled a year ago. By this point in history, after the fall of the Nazi Empire, after the fall of the Nazi regime, Nuremberg had already happened, as I recall my reading.
Yeah, and
we haven't done a thing with him.
Well, here's it, but that's a great point, and here's another one to chew on. You remember the deck of cards?
Oh, indeed.
The 52 Iraqi baddies?
Oh, yes.
I got a look at one of those once upon a time, and none of the body doubles were on there.
Well, of course not. That would have confused the knuckle daggers.
Where are they?
Oh, they're just out walking around.
I mean, I didn't see any of those grand, glorious White House Rose Garden press conference gaggle blabbles where George said, well, we caught another body double today. We got the one guy, and all the body doubles are out just wandering around. Is that what I'm doing? So we've got a 1 in 9 chance that that's the guy? And I got to take it on faith that it is?
And we've never heard a word about DNA. We've never heard a word about fingerprints. As if we could believe anything the Bush regime said.
But we do now know that the whole spider hole thing was a recreation, according to the sworn testimony of a member of the United States Marine Corps. We know that.
Oh, such a media-savvy presidency we have. Oh, it doesn't,
nothing.
Bob, you've said it 1,000 times. I'm serious. You've said it 1,000 times by now. You just can't make it up.
No, it's way too good.
Your best writers are all of those fellas, that work for...
I say from time to time, David, that I'm the luckiest guy in radio. I got some of the best writers on the planet, and I don't have to pay them. The taxpayers are.
Well, we are indirectly, but yours is a small portion. You're one of the few people in America that's getting more out of this than you're putting into it. That's the best of us. All we've got is that view from behind, and there's I better not go there.
Yeah, leave that one be. Hey, David, thanks so much, man.
Always a pleasure, Bob.
Have a great evening. Later. And Gary. Hey, Gary, your head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing tonight?
Trying to get through, man.
Yeah, I heard you and Jack talking about some Walmart stuff and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to tell you about something interesting that happened to me today.
Sure.
I bought a few acres of land over in Summers County about 4 years ago.
Right.
I get a letter from a guy in California offering to buy that land from me.
Really?
Said he'd search the courthouse records in Summers County and said he'd give me cash and all that kind of stuff. So my question is, what's going on? I mean, we've got outsiders coming into our state, just picking us off one by one, buying our land for what, development purposes or what?
How flat is your land?
You could do something with it. I mean, it's part of it's flat, part of it's, kind of hilly.
Blow out half of the hill and create some more flat acreage?
Not in this particular case.
No. Okay. Have you responded to him?
No, I'm not going to. Well, I might. Well, that's illegal to do that. It just scares me when people...
No, you can't go shoot him, Gary.
You're coming into West Virginia. I mean, they're going to rape this state.
But you got to understand, to be entirely fair, Gary, you don't necessarily know that this guy is acting on behalf of some big corporate gobbler.
Well, he says in his letterhead, it says land buyer.
Oh.
In fact, right on the outside of the letter, it says, I'd like to make an offer on your land in great big bold letters.
And it's
definitely some sort of corporate thing.
I was going to say, it's from California, not Nigeria, and he's the... Yeah, no, you've seen that email.
Well, I believe they've got plans for West Virginia. See, these guys want years ahead of time.
Look, they know there are people paid far better than you or me combined, Gary, who know what West Virginia is.
Yeah.
I made a conscious decision to live here a couple of decades ago, and I did so for very specific reasons. I've told the story on the air about how I moved away from Atlanta because I was tired of hearing F-15s fly over my apartment, 200 feet above and, knock stuff off the walls.
Yeah.
And I got tired of listening to the constant roar of I-75 and I-85 and I-285 and all the I.
You probably heard me go by a few times.
And I probably did. But the whole thing here, Gary, sprawl can only sprawl so far. And we are one of the most sprawl-free, and for as much as we moan and groan about the weather during the winter, one of the most temperate climates on the East Coast.
You know, there's people out there that they just hate that fact. You know, I mean, we're not going to be able to sing country roads like John Denver did in a couple more decades, probably. Because are you familiar with the Raleigh-Greensboro area?
Oh, yeah.
Look what they've done down there. For 100 miles from Winston-Salem to Raleigh is nothing but one big megalopolis.
And who would live there?
Well, yeah, what kind of idiot would want to live in a place like that? But I will say this to the idiots out there that do want to live there. Leave West Virginia alone. Your paradise is already created. Go live there.
But see, the thing is, what you've got is incrementalism?
Yeah.
So, you know, you build the first round of McMansions on the Canyon Rim.
Uh-huh. And well, they've got them out there in White Sulphur Springs right now.
Oh, yeah. And those people feel like they've got paradise, right?
Yeah.
And so the next wave, the next increment comes in, and they don't have quite as much paradise, but it sure does beat where they came here from.
Yeah.
And then wave three and wave four, and then the next thing you know, you got Raleigh-Durham.
Exactly. You know what gets me about all this is these people are not even from around here. They're from, you know, five states away. And they come out here like a bunch of vultures. And, of course, our local politicians, you know, the bloodsuckers they are just so very much glad to accommodate them and tell us how many great jobs we're getting and everything else. People of Raleigh County have got nothing but the short end of the stick from all this development we've had.
Well, consider
it. If you think Walmart, is that what we get out of all this for housing prices that have doubled and tripled? All this congestion, that's what you get is a $6 or $7 an hour job, and you think it's worth it?
Yeah, I don't know about yours, but my grandmother wouldn't call that a bargain.
Mine wouldn't either.
Yeah, they're pretty savvy people. And again, there's a reason we're here. There's a reason that some of our families didn't pick up and keep moving west when the rest of the country did.
Exactly. And, I mean, that's the reason I came back to West Virginia, because they're trying to turn it into exactly what I ran away from.
And I don't want to make anybody, mad at me other than those that I intend to have mad at me. But outside the confines of Uptown Beckley, this is not a pretty place.
No. It is so poorly planned, unbelievably poorly planned.
I mean, is there anybody out there that will tell me that Bird Drive and Eisenhower Drive are aesthetically appealing?
No, the way they've got the transportation set up around here, I mean, it's awful. It's always been bad, but, I mean, the more development they add to it, the worse it gets. And I live very close to this mishmash out there near Walmart, and I'll tell you what, sometimes it takes me half an hour to get out of my own darn driveway.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at that. And what amazes me is the old line families over in Fayetteville, Gary.
Uh-huh.
And it's really kind of bass-ackwards. The old line families in Fayetteville are the ones saying, we sure would love to have a Walmart. And it's the newbies that came in to get away from that garbage that are saying, please, no.
Yeah.
And we're gonna get the same thing you're complaining about. Do you know where Nickelville Road is in Fayetteville?
I've heard
it's going to be the same darn thing. There are going to be people spending 30 minutes trying to get out of their own blessed driveways.
Exactly.
Because the revenues aren't rich enough.
And I do like Steve now, but if you listen to his show, it's nothing but development, development, development. Boy, we butt heads on that now. I mean, it's just crazy. People don't know what they're asking for. The thing about it is, once you get it, it's too late. It's already, you've lost paradise. You can't get it back.
No, you can't because, you string it. Well, how much family farmland have we lost to McMansions now?
Well, I would put it this way. My family originally came from Greenbrier County, and they lived on nice 150-acre farms over there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, and they were poor people. They were just poor farmers. I'll tell you what, there's no way in the world any of their grandchildren could ever go back and buy one of those farms, not unless they were a doctor or lawyer.
Oh, no, the same thing goes on out my road. There's probably 600-acre family farms out my road, and in my wildest dreams, I couldn't afford one.
Yeah.
And I'm living in an undeveloped area.
And that's progress for us. Is that progress? I don't think it's progress.
No, it's not progress. And again, you know, I know you're tuned into it, Gary. So many people aren't. Development, Bird Drive and Eisenhower Drive, you know, where it's one McRestaurant after another and one chain store.
That's
another.
Shame of all. There's no creativity there. I mean,
there is no creativity. There is no local person benefiting. There are two places that I try to eat when I eat out, and I'm not just eating on the fly. If I'm taking my family somewhere, we go to the Cathedral Cafe in Fayetteville, and we go to the Sedona Grill in Fayetteville. They are family-owned. They're family-operated. They're locally operated. They support the local economy. They participate in it. And they're highly creative and it's a joy to walk into either one of them.
Yeah, well, you just don't have that much of that in this area, particularly in Beckley. I mean, Beckley's, for family-owned restaurants, about the deadest place I've ever seen.
But all of this strip sprawl garbage, I guess it's good for the real estate.
I'll tell you why we're getting all this, because Mayor Pugh and his wife are in the real estate business, and I have no doubt whatsoever, although I can't prove it, I have no doubt whatsoever that they're lining their pockets good on it. And that and all their buddies. That's why they, and then they get Steve O'Brien on the radio in the morning to parrot their message. You know, more is better, let's develop, develop, develop. Then they get Robert Seatwell, I won't even mention that, but let's just say politicians, to come in and just lay one road on after another on top of us, all these parkways, highways, to nowhere.
Well, you know,
they've got a plan for us, they really do.
Gary, I guess maybe part of the reason I have a different perspective from so many people, and it's not because I'm some sort of raving environmentalist. It has a lot more to do with the fact that I have some training in archaeology.
Yeah.
And I know the histories of cultures that overdevelop. And there is not one to this day that has ever survived.
Yeah, they outrun their resource base. It's a Malthusian thing.
Yeah, well, look at the Maya. And the thing that people don't understand is how little time it takes for it to turn around. From one generation to the next. I mean, we're talking about a period of maybe 200 years. Here's a people that developed a calendar that is more accurate than the one we now use, that knew more about astronomy than any other culture on the face of the planet, that didn't manage to come up with the wheel, that had a culture that was supporting millions of people in full-blown cities in the jungle in Central America, and 200 years later, nobody knew what had been there.
Yeah. But see, in our day and age, we're so sophisticated, we just don't believe that could ever happen to us.
Sophisticated, my left hind foot. You know, it took us 100 or 200 years to learn how to decipher the Mayan hieroglyphs in the jungle. Okay?
Uh-huh.
But we did learn how to read it, and they did know how to write, and they did leave us some messages. Now, you tell me, and it was because it was carved in stone, you tell me how long it's going to take some culture 200-400 years from now to figure out who the hell we were when everything we've got's on a little spinning disc.
Well, yeah, exactly. And the thing about us is we can destroy things so much quicker. I mean, they can take an entire mountain and remove it in a matter of no time.
Sure.
And they have no compunctions about doing it whatsoever. Oh, yeah, let's just make that into a flat area.
And nobody understands just how fragile this whole sprawl nightmare is. You know, we're getting this Walmart in Fayetteville, and they're going to draw into a water supply system that can't even serve the residents of Fayetteville as it now stands.
Well, it seems to me like they've really got their sights on your area out there, because you got that big developer wants to come in and do all that, and then you got the people out there want to just dump that Walmart right on top of everything.
Oh, yeah, where I live, Gary, as the crow flies, maybe 4 or 5 miles to the Gully to the Ravine.
Uh-huh.
And guess where that development down there at Smithers and Charlton Heights and or not Charlton Smithers but Kanawha Falls. That's gonna eventually sprawl up the Gully, because the Gully the valley of the Gully, the Gully Gorge, is unprotected.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, if something's not done about that, they'll just come in and gobble it up. I mean, it's the gentrification of West Virginia. And we don't have anybody out there on our side, no lawmaker that cares about it.
Hey, don't sound me short.
All they can do is parrot this development.
Gary, wait. I've only been on the air for a year, man. We've got me.
Well,
we got to roll, man.
Thank you, Bob.
Later, Gary. I got to toot my own trumpet once in a while, don't I? The show, of course, tonight was produced by the inimitable John Kepi, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, indeed we are, they are working for you. Also brought to you by the good, good, hardworking people of the West Virginia Pipe Trades. The show is archived by Ben Birch of Elgin, Illinois, at whiterosesociety.org. Get a chance. If you get a chance, go back, listen to some of the other programming he's got on there. It's an amazing site. Hey! Agnes.